you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
Check, hello, check, check, hello, check, 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 hello, check, check. Hello, check. Hey, what's up?
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
What's his appeal?
Is that so he doesn't? Are you a regular duck fan? You watch all the time him?
Kevin is a great guy. He is not much of an entertainer.
I mean, it's humiliating to me as a fisherman.
Oh, come on!
Hey, William Hung, we've been wondering if maybe you're a little bit retarded. Can you tell us whether you are or not?
No.
Not at all. That's what I've been saying. I said you can't be a little bit retarded and even get into Berkeley, but my friend Kevin here thought that you were.
Why would you do that?
So you're fine then?
Yeah, silly.
Fantastic.
Yeah,
silly.
Silly. I apologize for my man being.
And boom goes the dynamite.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Marijuana is delicious.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Munchies. Who wants some munchies?
Roll another one. Just like the other one. This one seems to be about to quit. And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. 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 It's our time to shine.
Let's shine, dude.
Oh, I don't understand what that means.
Roll.
And now,
my girlfriend thinks I smoke too much pot. I, on the other hand, think I don't smoke enough pot. Because if I did, I'd be finished. And I'm not.
Our feature presentation.
It's a little abnormal, but we forgot to play a commercial in the last commercial stop set.
We did?
So we have to make it up here.
Okay.
I apologize. Here's just one more commercial from...
What to do, nephews? It's Alex from the Kevin and Bean Show, better known as your super whore. And I love many things. I love big fancy... That's right. I love them. They did my... And it's perfect. You know when it's especially perfect? When it's painless due to a lot of drugs. And it was over very quickly. And you're out of there. So call 1-888. Those do not come cheap, but someone gives you a... That's pretty good, people.
Yeah.
I let them put lasers in my... Trust me, it works. Biatches. So if you're interested in nice big... Call 1-888. That's what the Kevin and Bean Show recommends.
What?
Oh, see?
What?
Aren't I awesome?
You're doing a lot of spot play.
I am really busy, guys.
Wait, who's the sponsor for that one exactly?
Well, we can't say it necessarily.
It's a new online sponsor.
Okay. Right.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah, they're big interested.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, I bet.
That sounds good.
Just forgot that last time, so I had to squeeze it in.
You guys appreciate that there's like a fire alarm or something going off in the hallway and Doc's like yelling.
That's what that is.
Oh, yeah. Doc's been in several times. What do you think's going on?
So I'm going to go see what's going on and find out where Lightning and Dave are.
Fantastic.
Okay.
By the way, Lightning and Dave are now getting here at about the same time, which is 5:45.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah, that's
which is later than they need to be for the work that they have to do.
And here's how bizarre this place is. I walked in, I heard that alarm or whatever, but it's more like a low buzz.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked over and I thought, well, that drinking fountain's about to explode. And I just walked in. I didn't think anything about it.
Oh, well.
I didn't realize it was an alarm.
What can you do?
Where is it, Psycho Mike? What kind of room is it in? Room with lots of equipment?
Yeah, the electrical room. The room of...
No kidding.
The power source for here, the whole bit office here at K-Rock.
So we could actually, if we just let things burn, we could actually go home early today.
Well, I already checked it out. Nothing's burning.
Yet.
But there could... I mean, there's definitely something wrong. I walked in. The door's open, which is bad.
Go start a fire.
They won't know how
to start a fire.
No, I'm saying they won't know because they'll have the you know, the alarm came on. Doc already knows about it, so he can vouch. Boom, you start a fire.
Right.
Burn this mother down.
Good thing we're not on the air right now and no one's listening.
Right, good point.
By the way, Kevin, you're the one who starts fires.
Yeah, that's true. I do like
that. And by really the way, Kevin, you're the one who's going to have to drive to Mount Wilson and do the show from the transmitter if the building burns down, all right? Is that what you want?
I'm on my way to Mount Wilson, promise.
Speaking of fires, by the way, I'm glad you brought that up, Lisa, because I totally forgot this. Remember last Friday afternoon when that fire started near the parking lot of the Oakwood Apartments on Barham Boulevard in Burbank?
Yes, yeah. You could. Right, I could see the flames from my house.
Yeah, flames were huge. I mean, yeah. It ended up burning hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of acres, right? And, you know, they were worried it was going to get all the way over to the other side of the mountain, the Hollywood sign. I mean, Universal looked like it was on fire. It was just, it was a nightmare. I mean, on a Friday afternoon, you guys know what a tight passage that is getting up and down Barham anyway.
And through the Cahuenga Pass on the 101.
Yeah, exactly.
Stopped.
I mean, it was just, it was a nightmare. It was a disaster. It was like worst place ever, worst time, worst day ever. The first thing I thought when I saw that fire on the TV is, Kevin.
No, you did not.
I did, because I was thinking that you were out there with fireworks somehow. I didn't know how it happened. I didn't put all the pieces together. But the very first thing I thought is, Kevin, God damn it. I just figured you'd set another field on fire, but this one just got out of control.
To give the K-Rock listener an idea of how little Bean is exaggerating and how obsessed with fire Kevin is. I mean, like
he
a
is.
Little boy.
Yes.
Where did this
He's
come
Beavis.
From?
The
very,
He's Beavis.
Listen to me. The first week I started working for the Kevin and Bean Show, okay, I come in and I'm totally intimidated by the situation, and I'm just kind of watching it like a fly on the wall. Well, some guy who has a product that was like a waxy stick. Do you guys remember that? And you put it in your gas tank, and supposedly it gives you better gas mileage.
Yes,
better miles.
Yeah,
yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Well, he sends one over to the show to let us try it out, and hopefully we'll talk about it on the air. Kevin, without hesitation, takes it out of the box, looks at it. Lightning, what's this? It's a stick that's supposed to give you better miles per gallon. You throw it in your gas tank. Kevin's like, all right. Walks outside without saying anything, takes a traffic cone, puts it on top, and starts lighting it on fire. He's like, I bet you this will blow up. Watch.
Come on. Well, I mean, the very first thing he said, we're talking about an alarm in the electric room. What does he say? Go set a fire.
Well, how is just that? Saying.
Yeah, you're just saying that's what we're saying.
Oh, you're just saying. All right.
Now we're saying the same thing.
Oh, I love fire.
Well, we know. Ever since you set that That's field on
point.
Fire as
I've
a child.
I've set many things on fire. I've been in trouble with the fire department. My parents' insurance would no longer cover me. It was not a pretty sight. Somehow I've stayed out of a lot of trouble, though, with the fire thing.
How many copies of Def Leppard's Pyromania album do you own?
I don't think I own any of those. It's not exactly the same thing.
Well, I'm
fireworks
just
too, not just fire, but fireworks.
Didn't last 4th of July, you pretty much set a beach on fire and then blamed it on your neighbors.
As a matter of fact,
it's just a rumor.
Yeah,
except the most dangerous fireworks on the beach, you give to your daughters and have them run down the beach and set them off.
No, yeah, in front of the other people's house. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, didn't your wife injure herself like diving for cover?
No,
explosion.
No,
how dare you?
At one point, did we have some sort of a Pokemon stuffed animal in the studio that you blew up?
Yeah, we had a Pikachu and we had an M30, is that what you call them?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so what's, well, who doesn't put those two together?
Who doesn't light M30s in a room?
In Pikachu's ass. It was awesome. Just exploded. It was in the studio, too, I think, if I remember.
Yeah, it's in a 12x12 room that other people have to work in all day. That's where you lit it off.
Oh,
that's
right. Fun. I need to get me some more fireworks.
Yeah, you do.
I need more fire.
Need.
I need all of that. You guys are bringing back some good times.
Well.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Sure.
That's right. Omar's reminding me that we put a firecracker in a bottle of Whiteout. Remember that?
That was right before you moved to the other new studio.
It was
right
in the hallway of the other station just before we moved. And, of course, I was covered, as was the carpet, with Whiteout. And our general manager at the time made me clean it up. So I was sitting out there with a sponge trying to scrub the carpet, Whiteout out of the carpet. So that was good times. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show. It's Friday. It is the 6th of Aprilingus. Very excited about having the Sopranos back this weekend.
Yes.
Yeah.
After a 19-year hiatus, they are back.
It's like brand new to me.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure where we left off. I know it was kind of a lame Christmas episode.
Yeah, and only because Psycho Mike mentioned it yesterday. Otherwise, I never would have come up
but
with that.
But who's doing what and why and who's still alive and what's happening? And we're going to need to be caught up today,
I
think.
Yeah, I got no idea.
Also on today's show, we're going to talk about the Entourage, which is coming on this Sunday again as well. And we have Rex Lee, who plays Lloyd. He's Ari's assistant.
He's so good.
He's fantastic. He and Ari, the two of them put together, are just fantastic.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk to him on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. He's coming into the studio. We have Movie Beat. Ralph will tell you about the movies that are in the theaters.
Mm-hmm.
We have Ken Gushi, who is a Formula Drift driver in Long Beach. We have Cal Penn. He's in The Namesake.
Yeah.
That's coming up this morning. We have Harvey Levin. He's going to tell us all about the K-Fed and Britney thing and how it all fell apart. One day he's getting, you know, $1 million. The next day he's getting $13 million. And you will not believe the story we're going to tell you just after 6, because I'm still having trouble getting my head around it. But the gist of it is that Lightning's fat is scaring his kid.
Aww. That's sad. They're afraid of their dad?
Not of their dad, but specifically their dad's fat.
Their dad's fat.
I've never heard of a 4-year-old doing this.
Wow.
Ever. So stick around for that. That's coming up just after 6 o'clock. It's the Kevin and Bean Show, 20 minutes till 6, and Ralph's Showbiz Beat is next.
Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. Good morning, Ralph. How are you?
Doing spectacularly.
Fantastic.
You know, I love me the collectibles. I have a sizable collection at home of my own of memorabilia from the Batman TV series. So I always follow these celebrity and showbiz auctions when they go off.
Mm-hmm.
There's a company called Profiles in History that usually covers the majority of this big-time Hollywood memorabilia kind of stuff. And they closed out their auction yesterday, the most recent auction of Hollywood memorabilia. And I'll tell you, some of the prices this stuff goes for. I mean, I've paid some stupid things in my time for stupid things. But this stuff is just stupid. So
stupid. I'm confused.
Goes for a lot of money, this stuff, is what I'm trying to get at. For instance, let's say you wanted to get the golden headpiece from the staff of Ra from Raiders of the Lost Ark. Remember that big staff that he puts in the sand and the sun shines through it and shows him exactly where the Ark of the Covenant is on that map?
Right.
In that tomb?
Mm-hmm.
The headpiece, the prop headpiece that was the top of that with the little jewel in the center? Okay. What do you think that went for? Went for up for auction.
$20?
$20, yes. Can you believe that? It went for $20, Kevin. The prices.
I'm not interested in that stuff at all.
I know you're not.
So these blow my mind.
But that's why I bring it up, because sometimes it's just amazing what people are willing to pay for it. Some huge Raiders of the Lost Ark fan said, I have to own that.
$10,000.
And he said, I'm going to pay $69,000 for it.
Wow.
That's what I'm going to pay for it.
That's crazy.
That's what it went for. The original Wolverine claws that Hugh Jackman wore in X-Men United, X-Men 2.
Mm-hmm.
$40,000.
Who do you think those people spend most of their time going, no, don't you remember when, yes, this is it, I'm telling you.
Well, some of these things are pretty iconic. I mean, things you definitely would know, even the most average moviegoer would remember, probably, Wolverine's claws, right? But $40,000, what kind of disposable income do you have where you can just plop down 40 grand for some prop claws?
Yeah.
Val Kilmer's Batman costume from Batman Forever.
I bet that was a lot.
Went for $63,000. Not nearly as much as they thought it would.
Yeah.
Is that the one with the nipples?
That's the nipple suit. Yeah, that's probably why nobody wanted it. It's too gay. Marilyn Monroe's personal script from a movie called 7-Year Itch, one of her biggest movies, went for more than Val Kilmer's Batman costume. $69,000 for a copy of a script that had her handwriting and little notes and stuff in the margin.
$69,000.
$115,000 for Christopher Reeve's Superman costume. That I can see. $115,000.
Did him a lot of good.
Superman's costume.
You know, what's interesting about that, Ralph, is there have to have been dozens of those, I would imagine, through the course of 4 movies and all the, you know, stunts.
Well, this was from Superman the movie, the first one. And it was what they call the hero costume, which is that's what he wore when they wanted him to look at his best. That was the prime costume. That was the one he wore the majority of the time. Exactly. The best looking one they had. So just some of the things selling. Interesting, Love Sopranos coming back this weekend. You remember the shirt that James Gandolfini was wearing, when Uncle Junior shot him?
Oh, yeah.
That went for just $5,750. You could have that for a song.
If $5,000 is a song.
Yeah. It's a very expensive song, still. So, all out of my price range, but good stuff.
They used to have a Profiles in History store, too, Ralph. Remember, it used to be in some of the malls. But I haven't seen those in a while. Yeah, you used to be able to go in and actually look at, hey, there's, you know, an autograph from President Madison and stuff. I mean, they used to sell a lot of high-end stuff in there, but I haven't seen them in the malls in a number of years now.
I'm sorry, your example of high-end stuff again?
President Polk, what'd you say?
I said President Madison, an autograph from President. I mean, that's the type of thing that that's why it always struck me as odd that they would be, you know, next to the Wicks and Sticks, you know, and just seemed weird in shopping malls. But I guess they don't have those anymore.
Wicks and Sticks.
An original poster for Citizen Kane went for $48,875. For a poster.
Wow.
Yeah.
Kevin remembers that movie, Citizen Kane, because Rosebud was a book. That's what I'm looking for. Remember that.
That was what he got from watching that film, yeah.
That's right. Well, celebrity sexuality under attack in the gay magazine Out. Apparently, the editors of that magazine have decided they're going to start outing celebrities again.
Excellent. Oh.
On the cover of the magazine, there are two models holding up masks of Jodie Foster and CNN newsman Anderson Cooper.
Well, those aren't shocking. We knew that.
But these are two people who have never addressed the issue of their sexuality, in spite of rumors, have never come out of the closet and said, I am gay or I am not.
Anderson Cooper?
Yeah, but I think he's always, like Ross said, he's never addressed it.
So?
Everyone else has said it, right.
Well, that's not being out, Lisa. See, well, then when you're out, you say, I'm gay.
Come on. In is when you're shocked.
Okay.
No, when you're shocked, it is when you just don't acknowledge it, when you don't say you are.
You know who else? Kevin Spacey never acknowledged it. We all know he's gay.
Allegedly.
Right?
But we don't. That's the thing.
But
that's what the magazine is saying.
He's not out.
We don't, because he's not out.
Allegedly.
I got to draw a picture of In-N-Out. For Lisa, it's like Sesame Street.
You do.
In. I need a box.
Out.
In. And then out would
you
be outside.
I would know In-N-Out more
than
anyone,
would
you?
You would think. From the burgers, but for nothing else.
Who wants some man meat?
I do. I want some man meat.
I like meat.
George Lucas says he refuses to give up on recruiting Sean Connery to come back for the fourth Indiana Jones movie. Apparently, Sean still has not signed on as Indy's dad.
I hope he comes back. He'd be so good.
He would be great. Connery has been linked to the movie, but he insists that he has not yet signed on to reprise his role as Henry Jones, Indy's dad. But that doesn't stop Lucas. We're still trying, he said. So we'll have to wait and see.
We have talked to Mr. Connery recently, Ralph. I don't know if you heard it or not.
And
apparently you just have to keep adding zeros to the end of that check amount, and then Sean will become interested.
And suddenly it becomes an artistic choice for him?
Exactly.
Sure. They found 11 different prescription medications in the hotel room of Anna Nicole Smith.
Right.
On the day she died. 11 of them were prescribed by one doctor.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Documents were released by Broward County's medical examiner yesterday that said psychiatrist Christine Erosevich had authorized all the drugs found in the hotel suite of Anna Nicole Smith.
Wow, that's not even the doctor that I saw profiled, the one here in California.
That was just for shady practices. He was sending it to fictional names
under
and addresses
names,
and stuff.
Yeah.
This is one doctor who gave her 11 different medications.
Wow.
62 Valium tablets were missing from one of the prescriptions. It was only prescribed 2 weeks previous.
Oh. Wow.
So in the span of 2 weeks, she had taken 62 Valiums.
That's a lot of Valium.
That sure is. Yeah, so now they're looking at this doctor saying, you think maybe you over-medicated your patient? Doc?
Anna?
If you have a patient like her that's publicly way out of it, don't you kind of want to distance yourself? You're a doctor, I would think. Like, every time she showed up on TV, you go, oh, man, she's taking way too much of something.
Yeah. And a lot of it is from me.
Yeah.
Britney Spears is having a sale. Would you like to pick up a Malibu mansion? She's slashing the price.
Really?
It's priced to move.
Isn't this the place that wasn't it not on the water because she was afraid of a tsunami or something?
I don't remember that story, but I wouldn't doubt it.
I kind of do remember No, that's why she wanted to move, I think.
Okay. She and ex-husband Kevin Federline are, you know, trying to settle up their affairs now that the divorce is happening, and she wants to make a quick sale, so she's slashing the price. It hit market earlier this year at $13.5 million. Now she's dropped to the low, low cost of $12 million.
Wow.
It's a steal.
So for $12 million, you can pick yourself up a 7-bedroom palace, which features a dance and workout room and a recording studio.
Wow.
Seems like a bargain.
Sure.
Can you get the essence of Kevin out of it? Ever?
I don't know. They'd have to tent it and then, you know, gas it.
Scrape the walls.
You might be worth selling your Citizen Kane poster to be able to buy that.
Yeah, you can sell a couple posters. You actually picked that up. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? John Ratzenberger. You know him as Cliff Clavin from Cheers. Lisa knows him as the guy from Dancing with the Stars.
Yep.
We have to pay you again.
You might.
He's 60 years old today. Just dancing his fat little ass off.
Yep, sort of. Still
he
got plenty of ass.
He can kind of dance.
Can he?
He's not great.
Frank Black, singer and guitarist for the Pixies, is 42 years old today. Paul Rudd. What a funny, funny, talented actor. Makes interesting choices, that Paul Rudd. You know him, 40-year-old virgin. He was also the weatherman in Anchorman. Can't remember his name right now, but I'm sure Dave the King of Mexico would, because I remember Dave went as him for Halloween last
right.
year. Remember?
That's right.
2 years ago? Yeah. He's 38 years old today. Zach Braff, one of our favorites from Scrubs, 32 years old today, and Candace Cameron, who played DJ Tanner on Full House.
Oh, man, back in the Full House days. Oh, yeah.
No.
Fat.
It wasn't the twins, man. I wanted to do her.
No,
do
no.
It was the coin flip for me.
Fat.
She wasn't fat.
Fat.
No, she wasn't fat.
Fat.
Stop it.
Who, is she the older sister?
No, she, yeah, the oldest.
Yeah.
Fat.
She wasn't fat.
Head like a pumpkin. Fat.
Could you have shredded her, Psycho Mike, if
well,
you got her into the gym?
Josie and... Sweet and the middle sister got on meth. She didn't want to be fat.
So right, that's the answer you're recommending?
Yeah, now she looks good. She hosts that dance off pants off looking good, nice and thin. Not fat pumpkin head.
And her career has never been stronger with that pants off dance off hosting gig she picked up. So good for her. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz Beat.
Lara Spencer's coming up next. We'll interview with Lindsay Lohan's fat manager.
Pat, hang on. Hang on a second.
Who watches Lindsay's back fat? You'll find out in 8 minutes.
All right, Pat O'Brien, thank you. It's the Kevin Beach Rock. Producer Lightning is in the room with us. Yeah. I thought Jabba the Hutt had walked in a moment ago, but it's actually just Producer Lightning. What is going on? Because you know how in Hollywood,
don't even go with ballooning
it's good,
up. Come
it's
on.
It's good if you're blowing up. Blowing up is supposed to be a good thing in Hollywood. Not for you so much.
Come well, you're on. Not exactly losing weight. And then the story yesterday that you told us after our show yesterday, we went into the office and Lightning started telling us a story. And all of us who most of the time can't keep our mouths shut were just speechless. I've never heard. You're not going to believe this.
Lightning has a high-powered Hollywood producer whose legs can barely maintain his weight.
Lightning has...
People are going to think I am Jabba the Hutt. I'm 5'9 at 195.
Oh, you're 195.
Fat.
Grab a scale. Get a scale.
Yeah, I'm saying that's fat.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm not, but I'm not like
I'm
super...
Saying I would
I am
put
overweight.
Money on the fact that you're over 200.
Okay, grab a scale
says
right
195.
Now.
That's
5'9", 200 pounds, the fattest man in the world. Here on the Insider.
Code for anything in the 200 range is 195.
Okay, whatever
now,
you say.
Now, tell us about your four-year-old.
Yes.
And what your four-year-old said.
We were out playing catch, and he says, it's like, I'm gonna run, Dad. Don't throw it to me right now. I've got to sweat. And I said, why do you need to sweat? He goes, I need to stay skinny. I don't want to be fat. And I said, you're four and you're thin. You know, he's in good shape for a 4 year old.
Mm-hmm.
I said, it's okay. You don't need to run. Let's just play catch. And he goes, no, I want to be skinny. I said, you're skinny. It's fine. And he says, why are you thinking that you need to be skinny? You're not. And he
right, says, who's telling you? What
yeah. Why is this getting in your head? And he goes, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to eat lots of food. I'm going to eat junk food, and then I'm going to throw it up every day and so I can be skinny. And I said,
oh my
God. Tonight on The Insider, the world's youngest bulimic.
4 years old?
How does a four-year-old get
we
that?
We introduce Lightning's son to the twins from Australia. Watch them all disappear together.
Turns
Lara?
Five. In the end of June, and I have no idea how.
Okay.
Let me stop you right there, Producer Lightning, and ask this question. When you're playing catch with your son, you don't move, though, right? You stand in one spot. He
I
runs back and forth.
I try not to move, yeah.
Lightning's like the sun, and he's like the planets.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay, because that would cause an earthquake if you start running around your neighborhood.
Now,
you got to be careful about that.
Is it possible that the fat on your body is scaring your own son?
Well,
do you sleep without a shirt?
No. Yes, I do, but...
Does he ever come in and see you?
Rarely,
but
it does happen.
See you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean,
did he fall to the ground
in
horror?
He comes up to me, Lisa, he does a little poking in the, in the middle section. He goes, or he'll go, but Daddy has a fat tummy, or...
He tries to come up to you, but he bounces off.
Right.
Well, come on.
I have what doctors call a little bit of a weight problem.
No. You think the kid walks out of the room going, not me, that's not for me.
I think that there is some of that, but where he made the jump to bulimia and how he understood, I was floored. And I immediately went into an hour-long, I'm quizzing him.
Told you need to throw up? Who told you?
He was yelling at him. Was it a teacher? What is a classmate? Was it was it a friend?
It was a teacher.
A nanny?
The teacher was teaching them to all throw up every day.
How do you find? I mean, how that's a very complex thought for
a
4.5-year-old.
Well, they do say that kids younger and younger are dieting. Younger, I mean, 6-7-year-olds are on diets. So
yeah, but that's not a diet.
Maybe an older kid told another kid and
doesn't run in our family. It's in our household.
Probably,
it's not happening in our household at all.
Does your kid go to school?
Yeah. No, no, I know that. Yeah, from but what other 4-year-old? He's in a class with other 4-year-olds.
Yeah, but they have siblings.
Yeah,
older siblings. Just
coming up next, the man so fat his stomach frightens his own son. Lara,
but he tells my wife all the time about he's like, "Mommy, I don't want to be fat," and she's like, "Well, you can't eat junk food then. You know, you'll turn out like your daddy."
Oh,
you
know? Oh. You're well, such a tragic. Fat ass.
When you walk down the street, people go, "God."
How to tell when your son is gay at 4? Lara?
We don't let him eat the stuff that I mean, the kid eats chicken and he eats vegetables.
Sure he does. Do you think that your wife, doesn't want him to turn out like you? And she told him you have to throw up every day.
No, absolutely not.
Listen to me, little man. Don't turn out like your father.
Yeah, that's the way to teach a 4-year-old to
I'm
barf.
Just saying. Who knows barfing at 4 on purpose every day to control your weight? And it's not like he's going to just barf every day. His plan is to eat a lot of junk and barf every day.
Binge and purge.
Yeah.
I don't think that he even understands what he said.
Right.
But it's just disturbing that it came out of his mouth. I really felt like it was an out of body experience. I'm like, I'm teaching him, the kid, how to catch. I mean,
first of all, you couldn't teach anyone to do that.
I can. And did.
Hey, Light, I want to remind you, though, and not just for this conversation, but a lot of conversations with your 4-year-old, just because you don't understand what they're talking about doesn't mean they don't understand what they're talking about.
You have a good point.
He doesn't understand what he's talking about.
Pat has a question.
Did he say he didn't understand what he was talking about?
What's he talking about?
To him or to us?
He said his son didn't understand what he was saying himself.
That's correct.
A 4-year-old idiot who's also bulimic. Next on The Insider.
Hey, fatty. You are fat.
So what do I do?
Well, first of all, lose some goddamn weight.
Listen, I'm trying. I have this crappy-ass job, and then I have another job after this, and
you're trying
kids.
With all
and
those
you shouldn't
apples?
Be eating so much if you're working so hard. Your days be filled with work, not Twinkies.
Yeah, it's rough. Well, Psycho Mike brought in some food for me this morning.
Feeding Lightning.
I know.
He felt bad for me. Yesterday afternoon, I get a call, and it wasn't... I really appreciate it, Mike, but the sincerity... In Mike's voice, he was like, "I'm going to visit my friend in the hospital, and I need to bring him flowers or something."
Lightning,
that was the
your 4-year-old wants to binge and purge.
Yeah, I know.
Seems like there's a little something going on there.
A morbidly obese man rejects the support of his friends.
Morbidly obese.
Did you see that monster guy? The guy that was 1,200 pounds or whatever. He got out of the house this last week.
Did he?
Yeah, he's down
to play catch with his son.
He's down to like a slim 8 something.
Oh
wow!
To play catch with his 4-year-old son. Right,
exactly, Pat.
Oh man,
Lightning. What does your wife want to do? She's the level headed one of the parents. What does she think?
Well, I mean, we were going to start a little investigative, you know. Work at the school to find out where he could have gotten that information.
Give the child up. Angelina Jolie volunteers to adopt a 4-year-old bulimic. Lara,
but like you're gonna find for the next 14 years that this kid's in school that they're always gonna, like Lisa said, they're gonna be hearing things from other kids.
Of course,
there's no way to stem the tide of information coming to him. You've got to figure out what to do with the information once he gets it.
Well, of course. I sat him down. We're sitting, you know. Curbside, and we're talking about it. I said I had as much a rational conversation with a 4-year-old as you can.
Mm-hmm. Here's what I think.
You sat on a curb. How did you get up?
Here's what I think you should do. I think rather than talking your 4-year-old out of binging and purging, I think maybe you ought to go on that.
That's not a bad
you
idea.
You can lose some weight.
Not a bad idea.
Tonight on The Insider, father and son binging and purging. The latest craze in Hollywood. Lara?
Right now, Harvey the Hammer Levin from TMZ.com is on the line talking about all the great showbiz news. We haven't talked to Harvey all week long, but we're glad to catch up with him before the weekend. Hey, Harvey, how are you, man?
Morning, guys. Morning, Lisa May.
Hi, Harvey.
I am very upset with you today, Harvey. I don't even know if I'm going to be able to participate in the interview. I may have to actually turn off my mic and just sit this one out. I'm sorry.
Best case scenario. What happened?
Oh, how dare you.
I mean, what happened?
Harvey, how about some warnings on the site when you're going to show something as gross as what you put up there today? How about some sort of a disclaimer, some sort of a, hey, be careful before you scroll down because you're going to see something that may make your eyes bleed?
Are you talking about Ron Jeremy?
I'm talking about the picture of Roseanne Arquette in a swimsuit.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Not Harvey, good.
You know what? We looked at that and we said, should we not? I mean, we really thought of that. And we said, yeah.
Well, yeah, no.
Of course you said yes.
Pardon me, the answer should be yes. B is just suggesting perhaps a little disclaimer.
Yeah, I mean, I'd rather look at car wreck photos than that. I mean, that is horrific.
Well, you know, I shouldn't say it, but, you know, the guy who produced it, yeah, actually called her people and asked if she was pregnant, and they wouldn't respond.
Oh, wow.
And you know what? That's about as far as we push it. Honest to God, I agree with you. And maybe we were over the line.
Nope, you are not over the line. We do not want you to get that idea.
Although, I will tell you, just a few days ago, your gallery of nip slips I enjoyed very much on TMZ.com. The gallery of nip slips that you put up.
Well. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I bet it did. Yeah, a nice collection of all the celebrity photos, you know, girls on the red carpet when their nips fall out. It was pretty cool. Okay, well, Harvey, we wanted
like a total sleazebag.
No, you're doing the Lord's work, Harvey.
You and the Girls Gone Wild guy, just about the same in my eyes.
Oh, God.
Now, we're going to talk about Kevin Federline in just a second. First of all, just a couple of short questions. One is Anna Nicole Smith's baby. When the hell are they going to make that public?
Tuesday. It's going to happen Tuesday.
Oh, great.
Keith Richards is actually denying that he snorted his father. And how many of us believe the denial? None. And Howard K. Stern is talking about suing all of the media, everybody in the media who suggested that maybe he was involved in any way in any of the deaths or any of the problems.
Well, you know, I got to tell you, there are people who have said that he killed Anna Nicole Smith and he killed Daniel because he wanted to inherit her money. And, you know, first of all, I don't believe that. And secondly, it really is defamatory if people don't have proof. And he hired a lawyer who really is like a pit bull. He's the guy who represented John Patrick Ramsey. And he's going to go through with this.
You know what's funny, though, is that I've heard a lot of people suggest maybe what if. But the only person I've seen quoted in the media that has come out firmly on that side is Anna Nicole Smith's mother.
Well, she's crazy.
Isn't she the one
right
that Star Magazine?
No, she's just a nutcase, but I'm not talking about her. I'm saying there are people who have been on television, and I've seen it, where they've said he murdered her, he murdered Daniel, and I mean, you can't say that stuff.
Yeah.
And I think he might have a case. I mean, he's really going to, he really is going to sue these people, I think.
Wow, how about that?
All right, now
and networks, and I'm talking, and I'm not talking people either. I'm talking he's going to sue individuals, and he's going to sue some of these networks.
I hope he loses everything that he has. I'm not
whatever
a fan.
That is.
Don't like that guy.
Whatever money is left from Anna Nicole's estate, you hope that he eats it up in legal fees of cases that he loses. That's
what burns right through it, and then loses all of them. I can say that, right? That's legal, right?
Yeah, sure, that's fine.
Now, the last time we talked to you, Harvey, TMZ.com. KFED was getting $1 million. Well, we're wrong.
Why do you begrudge him that?
Because he's a douchebag. That's why.
Okay, well, I think what Kevin is asking, though, is then it came out afterwards in Star Magazine that it was actually much, much more than that. I guess we should start by saying, is it still just $1 million?
Who do you want to believe?
Oh, you're saying it's still $1 million.
We thought maybe they
had renegotiated.
I am telling you.
Oh.
$1 million.
Fantastic. Here's why, Harvey. I can answer the question, why do I begrudge him that? Because he spent all of her money when he was with her.
Yeah.
He didn't help her earn any of it. And, you know, then he blew it all. He was out partying all the time. I mean, he spent too much. He owes her, if you ask me.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but then what kind of a creep, if Britney Spears said, you know what, he's going to be taking care of my kids for part of the time, what kind of a creep would say, okay, you know what, I'm going to put my kids in some, you know, horrible neighborhood or something because he can't afford it just because I don't want to give him the money? Because there are two kids involved in this thing. So, you know, I don't begrudge him.
All right, here's the latest reporting.
I begrudge him more than $1 million.
Okay. Well, here's the latest report. 2004 prenup called for him to get $250,000 for each year of marriage. Supposedly she upped that to $500,000 to speed up the negotiations. He receives half the proceeds from the Malibu mansion. He gets $25,000 a month in child support. Till they reach 18. He gets custody 4 days a week.
But yeah, but you can't count child support. You can't count. No, first of all, I wouldn't bank on that child support, but you don't count child support as a payoff. You just don't.
Okay, well,
right,
that's fine.
That's
so do you
not
think
part
they're just
the element,
adding
right
all this up?
I'm telling you, he got $1 million.
I so want to believe you.
I'm telling you.
Excellent.
And I agree with Harvey. That is, I think that's reasonable when you look at the kind of money that was involved, the kind of money that she's worth. And I think, as Harvey pointed out last time, she did have, you know, one of the best prenups in the business. And it sounds like it worked out exactly as she expected it to work out at the end, which is fine.
It,
I mean,
it did.
Let me ask you one.
This is total chump change to her.
Let me ask you one other question about the prenup. And that is, one of the other things that came out was that he's forbidden about writing a tell-all about their marriage. I'm surprised that wouldn't have been covered by a prenup. That wouldn't have been dealt with ahead of time.
The prenups do have that stuff, and it doesn't mean it didn't have it. It just means it's kind of saying it again.
Oh, I see. Just
a lot of prenups do have that.
Hammer it home.
Right.
What do you think?
I'm going to ask a question that just calls for pure speculation on your behalf, Harvey. But you spent a lot of time covering Mr. Federline in the last couple of years. What do you think his future is? What do you think he's going to end up doing?
Nothing.
Come on. He's going to be
a superstar. Are we going to look at him the same way we now look at, say, Cato Kalin, a guy who was on the news a lot for a year, and then all of a sudden he's just, oh, yeah, that's the guy that used to. Is he going to be one of those guys?
Yep.
I hope so.
Okay.
I mean,
all right, say no more.
Like 2 years from now, we're all going to be going, Britney Spears, who did that dude? Remember that dude she married?
Exactly.
Oh, that would be the best. What's he doing now? I've never heard of him since then.
Wow. Harvey, you got any big plans for the Easter weekend? You going to take some time off, have some fun?
I'm hoping. Yeah, we're going to break a really big story on Sunday.
Excellent. Tell us what it is.
it has to do with Anna Nicole.
Uh-huh.
And I can't say more, but it really is a big story.
Is this the baby's daddy?
I'm not going to say.
Because that's supposed to come out, did you say Monday or Tuesday?
Tuesday.
The DNA results are going to be revealed in court on Tuesday. But I think we're going to have a big story on Sunday.
Okay.
So Easter Sunday, when you get up, have a little ham, a little Easter egg hunt.
No false advertising. I think it's going to be later in the day.
Okay.
Later in the day on Sunday. All right, at some point, check TMZ.com and find out what the hell Harvey's talking about here then. All right, Harvey, we always appreciate you squeezing us in, making time to talk to us on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
Guys.
Thanks, dude.
Ralph Garman is here with all the showbiz beat info for us. Ralph, what's going on, man?
This weekend is Easter. You know what that means?
Heart Day?
Peeps.
Oh. Yeah.
It's a big weekend for peeps. Peeps, the most goddamn useless candy surrounding the holidays since candy corn and Halloween.
Well,
Peeps.
I take offense to that because I love candy corn.
No doubt.
You love everything
that's horrible and bad. It's all about you.
Dude, there's a reason why they make millions and millions of Peeps every year. People like them. People eat them and they enjoy them, Ralph.
People will eat anything.
It's just sugar.
They'll just fill up on crap. Yeah, but given the options of all the Halloween candies...
Yeah.
Where do you go down the list to get to candy corn? You work through everything that's chocolate.
It's down by Peeps. Candy corn is my favorite Halloween candy, but I'm talking about Peeps. Is millions and millions and millions of Peeps are sold every year.
Again,
people
Peeps are to Easter what candy corn is to Halloween. Yeah. How do you forego the Cadbury eggs and the chocolate Easter bunnies and the peanut butter Easter eggs covered with chocolate? Mm. How do you go through all that stuff and then you say, oh, you know what I really want? No, keep your chocolate. Give me a rack of Peeps, please.
Ralph. You want to know what Peeps are good for? Throw one in the microwave.
Oh, cool.
It's awesome.
Does it burst into flames?
It's like a weird science fiction movie. It mutates and the head just real big, and all of a sudden it explodes. Like,
finally, we found a decent use for Peeps.
I also heard if you let them dry out for like a year, they're really good at scraping that stuff on the side of the toilet.
Are you having a huge problem with that stuff on the side of the toilet?
I'm just saying. I've heard they're good for that.
Oh. Peeps remove hard water stains from porcelain.
I've heard that. Thank you, Doc.
Yeah. Supposedly 700 million Peeps are collectively eaten every Easter season. 700 million Peeps.
I've never eaten a Peep, ever.
Peeps blow.
Never? Yeah, they blow. No.
But the reason it's in the showbiz beat is the makers of Peeps have established an online poll, and they're asking Peep fans... Which celebrities most resemble Peeps?
Oh, jeez.
No, they're not.
This is just one step below the hottest guy's name, Matt.
No.
The winners of the Peep lookalike contest, when it comes to women, Jessica Simpson is most Peep-like, according to Peep fans.
You're dead to me.
When it comes to men, any guesses who's a male Peep?
Owen Wilson.
That's a good guess. I would have said that over the winner, actually, of the...
I don't know.
Who's the winner?
Will Ferrell.
Most peep-like.
Most peepish.
What was his point? I have no idea. Dude, I don't get it. I don't get it either.
I don't get it either.
He's very peepy. That's all I'm saying.
That's bad.
George Clooney once again
shows himself to be better than us. He is currently making a movie called Leatherheads down in Tobaccoville, North Carolina. Jeez, I wonder what they do down there in Tobaccoville. What kind of crops do they grow? He's making a movie called Leatherheads. This is about the beginnings of the National Football League. I cannot wait for this movie, by the way. Anyway, he's working on it, and some neighborhood kids thought, you know what would be a good idea? They got a lot of people working over there in the cast and crew of Leatherheads. Let's set us up a little lemonade stand.
Right.
So we'll set it up, sell it for 25 cents a cup, and we'll make a few bucks. Maybe the crew will wander over on lunch breaks and buy our lemonade.
Hmm. Smart.
Well, guess who comes over, walks across the street?
Mr. Perfect.
George
Clooney.
Yeah.
He pulls out a $20 bill for his cup of lemonade. Hmm. Says, keep the change, kids.
Of course, he overpays, of course.
Then poses for pictures with the three kids, aged 5, 6, and 10, and mom and dad. They all get out the camera and shoot a bunch of photos. He signs a bunch of autographs for him.
Is he going to send him to college as well?
Goes back to work.
Because he's better than everyone. We know.
That's what Clooney does.
Perfect. I would have tried to bargain those kids down for 25 cents. That's what I would have done.
You would have hoped they had terminal illnesses and told the parents to just
come
let
on.
Them die. That's yep. what you would
How about
have done.
15 cents? How about, will you take 15 for the lemonade?
New relationship, according to the New York Post, in the world of celebritydom. Josh Hartnett and Penelope Cruz apparently are quite the item these days. Two of them were seen at the Caribbean resort Parrot Cay for a cozy spring break hangout last week, and apparently they were all over each other, according to onlookers.
Okay. That seems an unlikely couple, but all right.
They're both good looking.
Yeah.
Speaking of somebody who used to be good looking, now it's just huge, Valerie Bertinelli.
Oh, she is?
Former husband of rock legend Eddie Van Halen.
Wife. Husband or wife?
Wife.
Did I say husband?
Yeah.
They were married.
Yeah.
Okay. Know what I'm getting at. She apparently has ballooned up to size 14.
That's so hot.
She needs to lose 30 pounds, and so she has signed on to the Jenny Craig program. No word as of yet whether she's going to be the new spokesperson, because I heard they're easing
Christy
Alley out of the picture. So she may take over in the commercials, but she said she needs to lose 30 pounds to get down to a size 8. Still just huge.
What is this?
Monstrous. Dog. Monstrous. It's like, you might as well just kill yourself.
No.
What's wrong with you?
Wow. I'm telling you.
You've been talking to Lightning Sun, haven't you?
I'm going to eat a lot of junk food and throw up.
I mean, it's humiliating to me as a fisherman.
Sorry, Adam. And Sienna Miller has a new fan. What does that have to do with anything by the fisherman thing?
I don't know. Not a thing. Yeah. I don't know.
Sienna Miller has a new fan. Okay. You know, the smoking hot British actress who used to bang around with Jude Law.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Kanye West.
Really?
He's got a crush on her. This is how much Kanye digs her. He was telling Complex magazine, I guess
mm-hmm.
it is,
mm-hmm.
that she's so hot, he has decided she is a white girl I'd like to take to the mosque.
Is that,
I don't
wow.
know what the, that's what the kids
euphemism
are calling it
for sex?
Days, I
or?
Guess, I don't know.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, I would do everything to her. I would wreck that chick.
And as you know, I am the source of information for everything in the hip-hop community.
Oh
Rapper Jay-Z is missing his bubbly. You know, he has joined the hip-hop community's boycott of Cristal because the makers of Cristal said some not-so-kind things about their hip-hop clientele.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he's got his a brand-new brand of champagne that he drinks exclusively.
Is it his own?
I kid you not. It's called Ace of Spade.
Yeah!
The Ace of Spades champagne.
That's awesome.
Is all Jay-Z's drinking these days. He is currently also placing it in his video Show Me What You Got. If you look in there, that's what they're drinking in that video.
It's
some product placement. Ace of Spades.
That's great.
Goes down like a spade. That's what
he's a homo.
No, I don't think so.
That's what it should be. All that reminds me of, did you see that episode of 30 Rock where Alec Baldwin is making his own wine? He's got a vineyard. He makes his own wine, and he makes champagne so horrible that the only way he can move it is to ask the head of the Source Awards to put it in one of his videos so they can sell it to the black community. Because with the right promotion, he said, they'll drink anything.
That's nice.
It was hysterical. Everyone kept getting sick and spitting it out. It was magical. And here's the thing. Let's say you're Disney, okay? And you're making a smash hit, giant blockbuster movie that you want the family to go to.
Okay.
And say one of the stars of that movie has said publicly he snorted his dad while doing some cocaine.
Mm-hmm. Who could that be?
Hmm.
Oh, Keith Richards.
Yeah, Keith Richards from the Rolling Stone appears in the final Pirates of the Caribbean of the trilogy at the world's end.
That's right.
And now the publicity department at Disney is a little spooked by the fact that this guy just came out and said he snorted his dad, and now he's got to do a family-friendly publicity tour for this film.
But they knew what they were getting themselves into with Keith Richards. This isn't a new turn of events for him. Well, you put him in a movie, you take all the baggage that comes along with
it. They expected a certain amount of bad boy behavior, but not the public admission of snorting dead people.
That does seem a step further than even Keith Richards normally goes.
Yeah. So Disney, apparently, according to the LA Times, apparently has said, Keith won't be doing, and I quote, a whole lot of publicity for the film. So I guess you won't see him.
Come on, why you want to play a brother like that?
I don't know. Speaking of brothers, or former brothers, Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
An auction of Michael Jackson memorabilia is going on sale next month. The Guernsey Auction House in New York City has more than 2,000 Jackson and Jackson family items that will go on the block May 30th and 31st at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas. Some of the items include Michael's handwritten lyrics, some of his biggest smash hit songs, several pairs of his trademark aviator sunglasses, a microphone used by Michael Jackson, Janet Jackson's ballet shoes.
Oh.
You can pick up.
Did he steal them?
Other items, including Michael's original nose, apparently.
Up is that right?
Oh, wow. You can get that.
That's a deal right there.
You know, we all listen to that and say, who in a million years would buy? But there's going to be people who buy that stuff. They're still crazy fans for him.
Absolutely. Especially internationally.
Yeah.
He's still a huge star. And if you can't wait till April 17th to hear the new Nine Inch Nails album, it's streaming right now on the band's official website. If you go to NIN.com. And click on Year Zero, which is the name of the new CD. You can listen to all the tunes.
Fantastic.
There's a little heads up for you Nine Inch Nails fans. Today's celebrity birthdays, Candace Cameron. She was DJ Tanner on Full House, 31 years old today. Zach Braff, actor and director. He, of course, from Scrubs and Garden State, 32 years old today. Paul Rudd, 30-year-old virgin, Anchorman. Friends, remember he was Phoebe's boyfriend on Friends? Very funny on that show. 38 years old today. Why do I look at Kevin anymore when I say, do you remember when he did that? Because Kevin doesn't remember anybody.
I wasn't a big Friends watcher. I didn't watch Friends a lot.
You didn't watch that?
No.
Jack Black, singer and guitarist for the Pixies, is 42 years old today. And John
Frank Black, I believe.
Did I say Jack Black?
Yeah.
Frank Black. John Ratzenberger, Cliff on Cheers, and currently can be seen on Dancing with the Stars if you're Lisa. He is 60 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We were going to talk to Cal Penn about his new movie, The Namesake, but he's in Amsterdam. Yeah. I think they're shooting Harold and Kumar, too. And no one can find him. And that's not surprising.
No, you know what's going on there.
Because we've been to Amsterdam, and you're not findable when you go there.
Well, all I know, Kevin, is that you and some people went into one of those hash bars and thought you were in there for about 20 minutes. And when you came out, you realized you'd been in there for 6 hours.
Yep. We looked at our watches. We were like, okay, it's been a couple of 6 hours.
So time does tend to get away from you in Amsterdam. But I like that guy. And this movie, The Namesake, that he's in looks pretty good. But maybe another time for Mr. Penn. I want to call your attention to, by now, if you're a Sopranos fan, you know that it's coming back this weekend. It's been months since The Sopranos is on. But this is the final 9 episodes starting this Sunday night on HBO. If you are at all a fan of the show, and Kevin, I really recommend this to you, get the new Vanity Fair magazine. Have you already seen this?
I have, yeah. I have.
Oh, did you read that article?
You don't think I'm a regular Vanity Fair reader?
No.
It is a fascinating article and interview with James Gandolfini and with David Chase, the creator of the show. It tells you all about how the show got made, all about the problems they had, all about how HBO almost didn't put it on the air. It got down to the last minute before they decided to air it. And now here we, I guess 1999 is when it debuted on the channel. And now it's considered by some to be the greatest dramatic series in the history of television. It's finally going away this year. But I got to be honest, as much as we love The Sopranos, kind of hard to remember where we left off at the middle of season 6.
They started it in 1999, and then it went off in 2001. And I'm having trouble remembering what the hell's going on. So if you can catch us up on what's happening on The Sopranos so that when we sit down this weekend, we'll be up to date. We'll know what's going on.
Yeah.
I guess HBO has been rerunning those episodes, the first part of season 6, so had I been watching the reruns, I would be completely up to date, and maybe there's somebody out there who has been, who can tell us where we are in the story. But, you look through this photo shoot, and you're reminded of all the people who are dead. You're reminded of the people who have been killed,
Which is almost everyone.
You look at Steve Buscemi's character there, and you know, and Joey Pants is dead, and you know, Adriana is dead, and Big Pussy is dead. A lot of people are gone. Who's still on the show, and what are they doing? That's the question we have on the table.
By the way, every one of those people, I was surprised when you just said, "What? Hey, what? They killed Joe Pants?"
No, it's been a while, right?
It's been a long time. The last season, if I'm not mistaken, it ended with that Christmas episode where kind of nothing happened. Remember?
Yeah,
it was a little disappointing, and we were trying to figure out why they broke, and then everybody kind of thought, well, they just broke up, you know, one season into two, mm-hmm. and now they're going to come back. But I don't remember who was Tony having an affair with somebody? Is Christopher still alive? Is he is Christopher in Smack again? Was that the deal?
Yeah, I think Christopher's doing drugs again.
That's all I remember. And trying to get that movie made in Hollywood. Right. And if I remember, one of the big plot points has to do with one of the New Jersey guys having a feud with one of the New York guys, like two heads of the families or something, or fight. But I don't remember who. And I don't remember what they're fighting about.
All right. JV in Los Angeles. Good morning.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, dude. We're talking about The Sopranos. We're a little surprised. A little not surprised, but we're confused. We've forgotten exactly what happened. Where are we?
What do you mean, what are we? Vito was gay.
Vito was gay,
oh,
right?
That's right.
You know, come on, man.
They killed him, right?
Yeah, well, of course they killed him. Johnny Sack's cousin or brother. Yeah. Killed him.
Okay, so Vito's gay, and that's when Tony Soprano goes to his therapist and says,
"He's a fag."
That's where that came from.
That's right.
That's right. That's right.
That's where that came from. All right.
Now, Vito was one of their main guys, and he's the one who ended up like running away from the family, trying to just vanish, and ended up being an antiques dealer in New Hampshire or some BS like that, right? Had a boyfriend up there for a while?
Yep.
He actually went to a restaurant. This guy's making pancakes, and Vito's looking at him in a gay look. You know?
Yeah, it was the dude, the chef dude, was the guy from 30 Days, right?
Johnny Cakes.
What?
Johnny Cakes. That's right. Is that all you remember now, is that Vito was gay?
Okay, so then he decided... But then...
Johnny Sacks went to prison.
Johnny Sacks went to prison.
Oh, he's in prison.
And remember, he croaked. They said, oh, yeah, the Costa Nostra, it's a true thing. You know, he said that he was involved with it within 10 years, and everybody started cussing him out.
I don't think I understand what you just said. Did he die, Johnny Sacks?
No, Johnny Sacks didn't die. When he went to prison, in order for him to get a sentence reduced, he said that he was involved with the Costa Nostra, which is...
Did he start giving up names? Is that why everybody was upset on the outside, is because he talked?
No, he just said that it was true, that there is organized crime, that he was involved with it, but he never said names.
Okay.
I don't feel like we're getting a lot from JV.
No. Time to move on.
But thank you for the call.
I don't either.
We appreciate it.
What about Tony? Who's his girlfriend these days? And is he... I remember at one point on the series, he was estranged from Carmella, but they got back together. They're living together, and they're married again, right?
But wasn't he having sex with the woman, and then Christopher stole her away? Did that happen?
Because
isn't he doing drugs with somebody on that Christmas episode in the house, and wasn't it
Margulies? What's her name?
Juliana Margulies.
Yeah. She was a real estate agent.
Yes.
She and Tony had a thing, and then she and Chris had a thing.
No, but Tony wanted to have a thing, and then when it got time to
He
actually had a moment of clarity where he realized...
Tony stopped?
Yeah, he did.
He's a fag. Oh.
Let's go to...
She's a hottie, too.
Charles at Anaheim. Good morning.
Yeah, how you doing?
Hey, we're pretty good.
Hey.
How are you?
What's going on with you?
What did do?
Charles, listen, for folks who are just turning on the radio, The Sopranos is coming back on Sunday. It's been so long since the last episode that we feel like we're going to sit down on Sunday night, turn on the TV, and have no idea what's going on. So we're hoping you can help fill in some of the blanks. Where are we in the storyline?
All right. One of the things that jumped out to me is the fact that they killed Vito Spadafore.
What?
Oh, my God.
He was the real fat guy. He had came back, and one day these two guys from Tony's camp were making a pickup at this gay bar, and they seen Vito with his leather and his whip and everything dancing with this guy.
Right.
And they asked him, you know, Vito, what the F? And he's like, guys, it's a joke. But anyway, long story short, Vito knows everybody's going to find out what's going to happen to him, so he runs off somewhere in Virginia or New Jersey.
Right.
And, you know, he winds up hooking up with this guy who's a...
Short order cook, right. We already covered that. But then he came back and got killed, didn't he?
Yeah. Okay. But here's the thing. Tony wasn't going to do it at first, but then he did. He decided it was going to be somebody in his camp, but Phil Leotardo beat him to the... Phil caught him in the hotel. You know, he did some... some unspeakable acts to him and just basically made him suffer before he killed him.
So Phil's the guy who killed Vito.
Yeah.
And then didn't Tony get mad and kill Phil's guy?
No, I believe.
So confused. All right. Thank you, Charles.
Hey, let's go to Jeff in Anaheim because he's bringing up another plot line that I sort of kind of remember this, but I'm not really sure. Jeff, go ahead. What's about, where are we in The Sopranos?
In the beginning, Tony got shot by Junior.
Right.
Oh, that's right. That was the first episode of the last season, right?
Yeah, and then later on, AJ went to the old folks' home to kill Junior, but he kind of wussed out. The knife fell out of his pocket, so he took off and got caught.
He dropped his knife. That's right. Yes, Psycho Mike.
I do remember. Phil was actually super upset at Tony's crew because after they had killed Vito, remember... Silvio and some other dude, they killed one of Phil's crew. Remember, they beat him, beat him to death. And that's when Tony came back to the Bada Bing and like, you don't want to come in here, Tone. You don't want to see that. And they knew. And
yeah.
Tony would not admit to doing it, but that his crew did it. But they did, in fact, kill one of Phil's crew to get back at them for Vito. Because he was talking about him being a queer. And da-da-da.
Thanks for derailing what Jeff was trying to tell us about, by the way. All right. So AJ, who's Tony Soprano Jr., now is starting to turn into his father. And that's what's significant about him wanting to go out and get revenge on his grandfather is because, you know, this is the life that Tony doesn't want to see his kid end up in that life, I don't think, right?
Nah.
And that's what's big about that. So we're probably going to see a lot more of repercussions from that in the remaining 9 episodes of the series, I bet.
All right. I think I've got it all straight. I'm pretty sure I have it all straight.
I don't.
If I think about it correctly.
Vito lost a lot of weight. Still gay. Uncle June is senile. Shoots Tony. Tony's in a coma. Dreams he's somebody else. Gets slapped by a monk. Comes out of the coma. AJ swears revenge on Uncle June. Tries to kill him. Tony's pissed. AJ has a panic attack. Paulie finds out his aunt is his mom. Throws TV out the window. Bacala shoots a rapper in the head. Johnny's daughter gets married. Feds take him away. Cries. Italian guys kill Frankie Valli from the Four Seasons. Chris and Little Carmine go to Hollywood. Punch Lauren Bacala's face. Chris gets married. Camilla has a dream about Adriana and asks Tony about her. Wants to hire a detective. Tony gets her spec house going to distract her. Camilla forgets about Adriana. Vito is seen at a gay bar. New Hampshire. Meets gay guy with funny looking mustache. Rides some bikes. Put out some fires. Starts some fires. Starts to drive home. Stops to kill a guy. Keeps going. When he gets home, Phil kills him. Tony's pissed. Kills Phil's guy. Blows up his building. Phil has a heart attack. He cries. Tony wants to bang real estate woman that looks like the other girls. Doesn't.
Stop.
Chris bangs her instead. Paulie has cancer. AJ gets a job in construction. Meets Blanca. She's all crazy in bed. Christmas Eve at the Sopranos seems nice. But Tony and Karma are racist. AJ resents his dad. Tony's pissed at her dad. Bacala's kids hate Janice. Tony is pissed at Chris for banging that chick. Then he moved to California and Chris is back on heroin.
You have a gorgeous home.
There you go.
We do.
Yes, you do.
Okay, so that's where we are.
All right, good to know.
That's actually a piece from YouTube. You can get that at krock.com, the Kevin and Bean page. And it's they do that for the entire series.
Oh,
in like 7 minutes, they catch you up. So you'll be all up to date when you watch on Sunday night.
Lisa, it's not going to surprise you to know that this is Bean speaking. And I've never participated in any kind of a beer pong event.
Ever?
Is that what it's called?
Wow,
beer
what
pong?
A surprise.
Yes.
You're doing it this weekend at Santa Anita, right? Your beer pong competition, right?
Yeah, and we've never done it there, so we're bringing out a ping pong table, and of course the beer is already there.
Sure.
And I don't know exactly what the teams are going to be. It might be like Cat and I against Lightning and Dave, or I don't know how it's going to go. We'll have some listeners
that's
come
get
and play.
Ugly.
Yeah.
You don't ever want Dave on the other side of the table.
Dave's somehow going to take down everybody.
See, what you guys don't know is I'm like Hurley. I spent a year in a mental hospital. All I did was play ping pong.
Didn't
I'm
going to
wipe the table
it's one of those
with
kind
him.
Of deals.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the deal is every time you get a point, the other guy has to drink? Is that how it works?
Or? I think let's play it that way. I don't know. I've never done it, but that sounds good to me.
All right. So it's you and Lightning and Psycho Mike, King of Mexico, Cat, DJ Omar. You're all going to be out at Santa Anita. Like usual, gates open at 10 o'clock. First race is at 12 o'clock, and it's just $5 to get in. Same deal, right? But you get a free T-shirt, free live music concert from Greenbrier Lane. They're going to be there.
Very
that sounds like a deal.
Cool. It's a lot of fun. They've got 24 California breweries there. It's at the infield. If you've never been there before, you want to go to the infield. And all the info is at santanita.com.
All right.
It'll be fun.
Have fun.
Time for the Afro line, 323-520-AFRO. That's the phone number. We've often said telling a joke is, 90%, 10% joke, 90% telling.
Absolutely.
Hey, if it's nacho cheese, then who cheese is it?
Yeah, that didn't work.
Yeah, I don't think the telling saved that joke.
I'm watching the Jump Rope Championships on ESPN, and they're talking about technique. Just thought I'd let you know.
Jump in.
Scratch in the bottom.
They do carry that as if it's the Super Bowl. Yeah. And that's fascinating. Every once in a while, we have a listener tip us off to a song. This guy wants to remind us of a song that is, in my estimation, the single worst song ever recorded. No one in history has made a worse song than this.
Check it out. Isn't that just awesome?
Yes. Fantastic. Oh, God bless him. I love that song. Kevin, this is not going to surprise you, but yesterday, just yesterday, I listened to three different versions of that song on iTunes.
Three different versions?
But that's I got like 20 covers of that on my iTunes.
But that's because
I listened to three of them yesterday.
That's because Bean thinks, what is the worst music I could listen to right now?
No, it's a phenomenal song.
It's the worst song ever.
How dare you?
Ever. Lightning's fat, scared his kid.
Hey, Lightning, this is your penis. Where are you, man? I haven't seen it since you put in this mountain range between us.
So true.
I was obsessed yesterday and earlier this morning with a certain topic that the rest of the morning show did not see the beauty and the magic in, unfortunately.
Hey, Kevin, I've got that problem you've been talking about where I can only orgasm when giving a man oral sex.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
All right.
Spicy, spicy Kevin sausage. But not being, that would be gross.
Stop it.
Kevin. Shut up.
Yeah. Ooh. All right. Okay. Here's a guy who has a personal issue. He's got some problems.
Yeah, so I'm sitting in the parking lot trying to get into the bank, but I can't find a damn parking stall because all that's left is a damn handicap. Why the hell do handicap people need to park so damn close anyways? They're either on wheels so they can roll anywhere they want. Where they're going to park, they're going to put a ramp anyways. Or if they can't really walk, what the hell are they doing driving? Get rid of the damn handicap.
Hard to argue with that logic.
So you're saying get rid of the handicap.
They don't have to.
Let me explain something to you, all right? Cripples are not cool.
Exactly.
I got to ask you guys a personal question. Okay. Is it completely mental of me that every time I get done banging the hell out of my girlfriend, the first thing that comes to mind is,
I'm wet and sticky.
Let me know.
Oh, no.
Somebody's been to the Download Rodeo and is using it poorly.
Well, this is going to be fun. There's an event going on in Long Beach at the Long Beach Arena this weekend. Formula Drift Round 1. Kevin, it says here, no room for mistakes.
That's right.
Is what it says here, which I think is probably pretty good advice. And we're very excited to welcome one of the drivers who's going to be there this weekend. And we'll give away some tickets for you to see him in person, too. Ladies and gentlemen, Ken Gucci of the studios of the world famous K-Rock. Or as I understand from the email, they call you the Goosh. Is that right, Ken?
Yeah, I don't know where I got that nickname, but one day the MC for the Formula Drift competition was like, oh, it's Ken Goosh.
The Goosh.
Yeah, the Goosh.
The Goosh.
Really, your other nickname is The Future?
Yeah.
That's a little embarrassing. Dude, that's a lot to put on somebody's
that's
shoulders.
That's pressure. Yeah.
Tell us about drifting. What it is exactly for people who don't know.
Well, drifting is the art of intentionally inducing oversteer on a car and maintaining a controlled slide throughout corners.
So you turn a corner, but your rear wheels, thank you, are spinning, but your front wheels are kind of turning into the spin so that you control it. That's how it works?
Right, right. You sort of use the throttle to control the slide with the rear wheels, mm-hmm. and then with the front tires, you control where the car's heading.
Now, I've never heard of this before, but the person that wins is not the person that comes in first.
No, it's not based on time or how fast you complete the course. It's based on how you maintain a line throughout the course, mm-hmm. how fast you're drifting throughout the course.
Mm-hmm. Are there judges?
There are, in fact, judges. In fact, for the Formula Drift Series, we have three judges that keep an eye out for our line, our race line, our speed, how much angle we can pull off through the corner, and what we call a show factor.
A show factor? Yeah. So you're just kind of showing off, like, winging it.
How much smoke you can put out, and how
is a little subjective.
It is very subjective. So it's sort of like ice skating.
Yeah,
right.
It's nothing like ice skating except for the judging. So you've got Paul Abdul, you got Randy Jackson.
That's American Idol. That's just American Idol. Okay.
Oh.
How long has drifting been around, Ken, and how did it get started?
You know what? Drifting's actually been around for quite a while in Japan now. It's more than 20 years, I would say. It started in the late 1980s, mm-hmm. where young teenagers in Japan would run through canyon passes. sooner or later, they started getting bored of running just normally through canyon passes, so they started to slide around and sort of mess around in the corners, and this became a trend.
Mm-hmm.
And in the late 1980s, there's a magazine company in Japan called Option Magazine, which hosted the local drifting events in Japan, and that soon gained popularity and just moved internationally.
Your dad did this? Is that right? Your dad was a driver?
My dad actually started off doing autocross in Japan, but autocross in Japan and autocross in America is sort of different in a way that the autocross in Japan has a lot of drifting style techniques involved, as to where autocross style in the United States is all about time and how fast you can complete the course.
Right.
So he's sort of...
So he started, and he was racing, and then he taught you how to do it when you were what age?
He taught me how to drift when I was 13.
I
actually
love that.
Started driving a car when I was 8.
That might even be illegal.
He started driving a car when he was 8. No, that's not illegal. And you were living in Southern California, right?
All my life.
Where would you drift?
Yeah, where did he teach you exactly?
That's the problem.
Yeah. Parking lots, what?
When I was 15, I got arrested for illegal street drifting.
Nice!
What a shock.
I love that.
But the cool thing is, you didn't have to worry about your dad getting upset. I mean, he was cool with it, right? He knew you were doing it.
No. He was upset.
Yeah, because you got caught. That's all.
Because you were drifting without him.
So So you were 15 years old, didn't have a license, got caught drifting.
Yep.
When did you get your license?
I actually got my license back when I was 19, a year ago.
A year ago.
That's all?
And how many times have you had it suspended?
Twice.
Twice in one year.
Because of drifting. Now, you know you're not allowed to do that on the regular streets, right?
Really?
Yeah, I mean, maybe that's the problem.
That's why he's finding out.
Maybe that's the problem.
Hey, listen, we're talking to Ken Gucci. He is a Formula Drifter, and the event is going to be tomorrow at the Long Beach Arena. You can get tickets through Ticketmaster, and we're going to give away tickets, by the way, to five callers right now at 1-800-520-1067 if you want to go see this in person. I imagine it's tremendous in person. I mean, imagine that's the way you want to see something like this. It's like motocross. It's so much better in person than on TV, right?
Yeah, because you can see everything right in front of you, and it's all a spectator's motorsport.
Mm-hmm. Right. So. It's kind of like the NBA All-Star Weekend, where they just go and just kind of show off what they can do. That's a cool event. Now, Dave the King of Mexico and Lightning went earlier this week, some of the guys on our show.
And I heard that Dave the King of Mexico almost took off Lightning off the course.
Well, that's what was going to be my question, is Lightning's been complaining, oh, you almost ran me off the course, you almost ran me off the course. But how close do you guys get, and were they just not aware that that's kind of how you guys drive?
You know what, in fact, we get really extremely close to the walls. In fact,
How close, like inches?
Millimeters.
Millimeters.
Oh my God.
The walls. We'll scrape the walls, and we call it kissing the wall.
And that's good?
That's cool.
Really?
That's awesome. Kissing
the
wall.
That's what we want to do, yeah.
Oh my
God. Because it's, the whole showing off thing. Yes, Dave.
Dude, it was so awesome because, you know, my driver, was, in total control, and then Lightning's driver stalled out.
Mm-hmm.
So all I see is my car going into Lightning's, and then right at the last moment, the guy spins out and is right behind him. I was like, you're amazing. You just saved us from an accident. I was like, all right, of course, my car, the one time I'm going to do it, is going to crash.
That would have been awesome.
And then he just spun it around and saved us. I was like, this is the best thing ever.
Are drifting drivers better than other drivers just because you have to kind of have your car out of control a little bit all the time?
You know, I wouldn't say we're necessarily better, but we do
Say you're better.
Oh, yeah, okay, fine. We're better. No, we got all the car control in the world we need. In fact, the driver who took Lightning for a ride is Tanner. He's actually my teammate for Toyo Tires.
He is okay.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Very cool.
You have a different set of skills than a different kind of race car driver. I think you practice different things out on the course.
I would say we practice what they try not to do.
Right.
Yes, exactly.
They try their best to keep the car under control, and you try your best not to.
Right, and I can't stress how important, tires are involved with the motorsport.
Sure.
When it comes to drifting, it's all about car control on the course. And when you're drifting sideways, it sort of seems like you don't have control, but all the car control is done through the steering work, the tires, the car setup, and we actually have a different setup to the regular racing cars. We call it the drifting setup. I mean, it's sort of close to the racing setup in a way that we want maximum amount of traction, amount of grip.
Sure.
But that's given through us through our tires, and again, Toyo Tires provides me with the best tires in the market right now.
Have you flipped?
I haven't, but actually, my good friend Taka, he has flipped.
Flipped, yeah. That's not good,
right? In fact, he's flipped twice last year.
But was it controlled, and did he get good marks?
No, it wasn't a controlled flip. unintentional flip.
Okay, just check it.
This is Ken Gushi, and we're talking about formula drifting. Hey, let me read this email from one of your fans, Mo, and you can translate and tell me what the hell he's talking about in here, because you drift, guys. You got your own thing. Hey, Kevin, I mean, it's about freaking time. If you've never seen Ken drive, then you are freaking losers. And by the way, he didn't write freaking.
Right.
Seriously, the guy has mad skills behind the wheels. Tell Ken to kick Millen's ass for me. Millen is a competitor you're going to be racing against tomorrow. Is that right?
Yes, he drives for Pontiac.
Can you kick his ass? Is that something you do? I don't know
how it works.
All right, kick Millen's ass for me. That family has enough fame. This is for Ken. Good luck. Smoke some Toyos. Wow. And I take it from what you've just said is Toyo is your tire, right? That's what he's talking about.
I drive for Toyo Tires and Ford Racing.
Okay.
And here's the part that really got my attention from Mo's email. Have sex with the Umbrella Girls and F and win. Where's the after party this year? Yeah, what's that all about, Ken?
We got some hot girls on our team, just to let you guys know.
And they work umbrellas?
They carry umbrellas for us. They keep the sun away from our heads.
That's awesome.
What?
We need umbrella girls.
You have women carry umbrellas over your heads?
That's awesome.
I have four of them.
It's the best sport ever.
Wait, you mean like while you're walking from, you know, from the garage to the car, they carry it?
Yeah,
Come on.
Are you afraid of the sun?
No, it's sort of like the show factor I was talking about.
Yeah, they follow him around everywhere.
This is from Japan, isn't it? This was imported from Japan.
Yeah, I guess this is a trend from Japan.
When he gets out of bed, he's got an umbrella girl.
Umbrella girls is the best. Hey, let me ask you this, Ken, and as usual, we're never going to have enough time to do everything we want to do with you, but let me ask you this. When the movie came out, the Tokyo Drift movie, which was one of the part of the Fast and Furious, was that a fairly accurate representation of the scene in Tokyo, or was it just all Hollywooded up and you didn't even recognize what you were seeing on the screen?
You know what? Surprisingly, the movie was pretty accurate when it came down to like the underground street drifting scene.
Right.
And from what I've heard, the guys who've worked on that movie are actually the guys from the same industry I work in. So they had to do a lot with them.
But if they didn't have you, what are they? Right? Say it.
But it was pretty realistic. It was pretty legit, is what you're saying.
Yeah, it was. It was pretty accurate. I liked it.
Do you take?
Because I would imagine that would really bring a lot of new people to the sport. Just having a movie like that made and showing around the country, people who have never heard of drifting, that's their first introduction to it.
Right. In fact, when I do certain demos across the nation, I get people coming up to me asking, like, you know what? I saw this movie called Tokyo Drift, and watching it live and watching in the movies is two totally different things, but now, you know, I kind of understand what it's all about. It's really cool.
Where do you race most of the time?
All over the nation.
Is that mainly in the United States, though?
Yes, it's mainly in the United States. The Formula Drift Series is actually, it's a 7-series event.
Okay.
Well, this week in Long Beach is going to be our first event, and we have the finals in Irwindale, California.
Okay.
But in between, we're all over the nation. New Jersey, Virginia.
Do you take heat for driving an American car?
I did. Not anymore.
Not anymore.
When I first started driving the Mustang,
when you were 13, what kind of heat can you take when you're 13?
Well, before the Mustang, I used to drive a Nissan 240SX.
Okay.
That's one of the most common drift cars.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But as soon as I got into the Mustang, I had people coming up to me like, oh, well, you know, we liked it more in the Nissan.
Or sellout, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think I gained more fans with the Mustang than I did lose.
Okay, fantastic.
It's so funny because it's the exact opposite of what happens in NASCAR, where they take heat if they drive a Toyota. You know?
Right.
It's funny.
But it's funny because I'm a Japanese kid driving an all-American muscle car.
Yeah.
I got a lot of heat for that.
Yeah, oh, I'm sure.
All right, let me give out the information again, because if this is something, you know, you're looking for something to do, you know, Easter weekend, you maybe didn't think about this, the Long Beach Arena is where it's happening. Doors open at 10 o'clock to the public tomorrow. You can get your tickets through Ticketmaster, and it's a little cheaper to buy them in advance. And it's Formula Drifting, and you say this is the first of 7 events that you're going to have.
Yes.
And it's going to be tomorrow. And formulad.com you can go to, or your site, I guess, is GushiAuto.com.
Actually, it's KenshiroGushi.com.
You want to spell that for us?
KenshiroGushi.com.
Okay.
When women come up to you and ask you what you do, do you just say, I'm a drifter?
I drift, man. I drift. That's what I do.
Yeah. That's so cool.
I know. I tell them I do it sideways.
I love that. Nicely done. Ken Gushi, thank you very much for joining us. We appreciate it. Right?
I don't know. What are you doing?
Well, I'm high. It's 7:59. Wow. It's the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ.
Movie. Yeah, pass it on.
Movie Beat coming up in the next hour. Right now it's time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
I mentioned the last hour how totally BS peeps are. The Easter candy peeps.
Yeah.
You were wrong about that. Like, you're wrong about so many other things.
Just like BS freaking candy corn.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Well, I got this email from Mike. He said, here's a use for those nasty-ass things people call peeps. It's called peep jousting. And man, is it fun when you're stoned. I had no idea this sport existed, but along the lines of what Mike, Psycho Mike was saying about when you put peeps in the microwave, here's basically what you do. You put a toothpick in each of the peeps, and then you put them in a microwave. Then they expand like a giant blob. Whichever's peep spears the other with the toothpick wins. Here's some videos you can watch, and they send me to YouTube. And if you type in peep jousting in YouTube, 24 different videos come up.
That's
awesome. Featuring peep jousting. So if you're looking for some Easter fun this weekend, you might want to tune into YouTube and take a look at some peep jousting.
And learn how to do your own peep jousting at home.
Exactly. Sometimes they have peep wars where they get a whole bunch of peeps with toothpicks in them and hit Mike and just they just start attacking each other. It's awesome.
You know, maybe peep jousting today is where Formula Drift Racing was just 10 years ago.
I can't tell you how important toothpicks are in jousting.
Exactly.
I want to thank the people at Ralph's Grocery Toothpicks for all my sponsorship. There's some interesting information. I know everyone's bored to death with Anna Nicole Smith.
No.
But her diaries are going up for auction. Apparently, there was some German dude who bought the diaries amongst some other Anna Nicole Smith memorabilia on eBay.
Oh.
And now he is putting them up for auction. Included in the collection of things that are going up for auction are two diaries that she wrote, hand-wrote. And there's some really interesting stuff in them.
She could write?
Well, that's pretty interesting. She can't spell, given what I'm seeing here, but she could write, basically.
Does she write things like, Howard keeps telling me to take more pills?
Well, this is early in her life.
No, so, because he's suing.
Like 1992, this entry shows she was battling weight issues even then.
Yeah.
I've been really stressed out lately. I'm depressed, and I can't quit eating. I feel like a pig.
Mm-hmm.
See, and she would later turn into one. So it all, right. it's very interesting. She also talks about the beginning of her career when she was the supermodel spokesperson for Guess Jeans. Remember that? That was kind of where everyone kind of
discovered
her.
That's when she was hot. Yeah.
She talked about getting that job and how Paul Marciano, the CEO of Guess Jeans, was constantly trying to bang her.
Mm.
Is that right?
Yeah.
It doesn't say here whether they did or not, but I'm assuming he did.
What do you think?
And she also talks about how much she loved Howard Marshall.
No.
Really?
Oh, the
J.
old
Howard
dude?
Marshall. Yeah.
The 93-year-old.
Remember how we always thought it was all BS?
Yeah.
She would have no reason to lie in her diaries.
No.
And she talks about him with great love and tenderness throughout.
Because he was offering her $500 million.
You know, I think he was the dad she never had.
I think so, too.
He was the first person who kind of treated her with any kind of respect in her life and kind of took her away from that bad life she was leading.
When he took ill in 1995, she wrote the following. He's so very weak and fragile. When I touch him, I'm afraid he might break. If Jesus decides to take him, I don't know what I'll do. I love him so much, it hurts me to sit and watch him when he's hurting. I just want to hold him and tell him how much I care.
Hmm.
And then she looked over at him and said, okay, can I have my $500 million now?
How dare you?
Kevin.
Why do you have to be filled with hate and peeps?
That's all that's inside
peeps.
You.
Hate and peeps.
Inside
that's all you have inside you. All things bad.
I don't know if they have released this information, but since she's writing about Oldie, did they ever have sex or anything close to it? Did it ever go beyond a kiss on the cheek?
Does not mention that in the excerpts here in this particular news story.
I'd love to know if they tried.
Sorry.
Yeah. She probably just shook those in front of him just to make him happy. I mean, that's probably as far. I mean, he was, 90, for God's sake.
Yeah. Like maracas?
Yeah.
He was in a wheelchair when he was watching her strip when they first met. I can't imagine he was a sexual acrobat.
A beast.
Naomi Watts says she'd like to tie the knot with her boyfriend, Liev Schreiber, before their baby's born late this summer.
That's
novel
crazy.
Idea.
It's old-fashioned.
In Touch Weekly magazine reports there's little time to plan the wedding, so the two will just have about 25 guests for a big party in their hometown, of Sydney, Australia. And then after the baby's born, they'll probably throw a lavish reception stateside for all their Hollywood-type friends. So
that's nice.
Look for that to happen sometime this summer. Mark Wahlberg's worst critic, besides most movie critics, is his dad. The shooter star tells In Touch magazine that his dad told him Planet of the Apes was a real stinker.
Nice.
Oh.
Dad was right. And when he got nominated for an Oscar for The Departed, his dad finally told him, now you can call yourself a professional actor.
Jeez.
Get off my ass, Dad.
No, seriously.
Some standards there.
What did he say when he saw The Shooter, I wonder? If you're a Nine Inch Nails fan and you can't wait till April 17th to hear the new album, you can go right now to the band's official website, nin.com. Click on Year Zero, which is the name of their CD, and you can enjoy all the tunes there. So
fantastic.
Just a little heads up for y'all. Today's celebrity birthdays, Candace Cameron. She played DJ Tanner on Full House many years ago in that sitcom. She's 31 years old today. Zach Braff from Scrubs, 32 years old today. Jason Hervey. Jason Hervey played the older brother Wayne on The Wonder Years. Remember him?
I do.
Yeah.
Jason Hervey. Mm. He's 35 years old today. First guy I ever beat out for anything in an audition when I moved to Hollywood.
You beat him out?
I beat Jason Hervey out for a role. I was very excited because I got into the room and said, I know that dude. And I got the gig. Paul Rudd from 40-Year-Old Virgin and from Anchorman, 38 years old today. And John Ratzenberger, who played Cliff Clavin on Cheers. He can currently be seen embarrassing himself on Dancing with the Stars. He is 60 years old today. And I got a lot of angry email from a lot of angry Star Wars fans.
Uh-oh.
That I forgot to mention Billy Dee Williams. Billy Dee Williams, Lando Calrissian from the Star Wars movies.
I'd just like to say,
is 70 years old.
If you're one of the people who wrote Ralph an email, please take your own life.
Well, they're angry because he didn't get a stamp. First of all, he's not included in the stamp collection the U.S. Post Office is putting out. And to make matters worse, I don't even mention his birthday. Lando's getting no love, they're claiming. So.
Yeah. And he, by the way, has been a star for a long, long time. And he's more than just Lando. The guy has had a career.
No.
Not yes.
He was Gale Sayers in Brian's song.
That's as a matter of fact, yeah.
Remember. Spokesperson for Colt 45.
That's right.
He used to sell a lot of malt liquor.
Man can't be all bad if he's drinking 40s. That's what I always say.
True. He was on something recently, too. Lisa, was he on Ugly Betty? Was that the show that he did on recently? One of those shows like something. That.
I don't watch anymore, but was he on Lost?
I don't
see him lost recently.
So I don't know. Not recently, but yeah, he may have been.
I can't remember, but I did just see him.
Email the guy's legit enough to have to get a birthday shout out. I agree with the listeners.
He was the bartender in The Ladies Man with Tim Meadows.
There you go. You're no
you
help
know what?
Whatsoever.
It was Lost. He was. An actor in Lost, and there was a flashback that he was
flashback.
Oh, that's the way it's got to be.
How dare you?
Wow.
I will not participate in your racism, Lisa.
The hot fruit cutter chick was in a TV show with him.
Right.
She was an actress back on in real life.
Right. When they did the fruit cutting flashback?
What's her name? The hot chick.
The one
chick.
Who died.
Are we still talking about Billy Dee Williams?
Yes.
Can we stop?
Wow, Kevin.
Man.
So you're with Lisa. You hate the Negro. That's what's going on.
People, but I've never seen it go to this level before.
What kind of... Ralph and I are talking about a talented entertainer that deserves the respect, and you guys are coming and just want to throw it down because he's black. That's just rude.
And you know what? He was Harvey Dent in the first Batman movie with Tim Burton and Michael Keaton.
Boom!
He was D.A. Harvey Dent. That's right.
I think we've about covered all we got on Billy Dee.
Oh, now you're out.
I think that's about enough.
He also played pro football, I think.
He's Ralph Garman.
Oh, no, he played a guy who played football.
Watched the show.
Brian Song,
yeah.
Showbiz Beat.
Yeah, made me cry. That.
Showbiz like Beat. Baby. I'm going to play the commercial. Say it.
Asia.
Lisa, you were talking a few minutes ago about beer pong because you're going to be playing that out at Santa Anita tomorrow, right? It's K-Rock Day at Santa Anita.
Yeah, we've never done it. We're bringing out a ping pong table and we're going to play beer pong, whatever that is. It's beer and it's ping pong.
Hey, guys.
Not going
to
be
Lisa May. I've been listening to your show and heard all about the upcoming event this weekend at Santa Anita. It has come to my attention that you will be holding a couple of beer pong games, but you seem to have no idea what the rules are. My best friend and I would be more than happy to govern the game. We are professional champions. We know all the rules and are offering to referee your game at Santa Anita. Sincerely, Harrison, who is on the line with us right now on the world-famous K-Rock. Hey, Harry, what's up, man?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
So you heard the magic words this morning, beer pong, and that your little ears picked up, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Now, when you say professional, to me that means you make a living at it.
Well, we don't make a living
that's
at
what
it,
I thought.
But okay. I mean, my friends play quite profusely on the weekends. I mean, go through a couple games.
Okay. Describe beer pong to us.
Yeah.
Well, beer pong is a game that is set up with a ping pong table or any type of table the same size, 10 cups on each end with ping pong balls.
Right.
And basically the point of the game is try to throw the ping pong balls into the other opponent's cup, and they have to drink it. And now every different house has different rules that go along with the game.
Now, wait a minute. And, so it's considered you win if your opponent has to drink?
Yeah, if you get your ball when you throw it into the other player's cup, they have to drink their cup, and whoever gets the most balls in the cup, the losers have to drink all the cups that are remaining on the table.
I see. So, but are you actually playing with the cups on the ping pong table?
Yes.
Yeah.
10 cups, kind of like in a diamond, like a bowling fashion.
Okay.
Interesting.
Do you have to drink the ping pong ball down as well?
What's that?
Do you have to drink the ping pong ball down as well?
Yeah.
No.
Some houses do. Every house has different party rules.
Okay.
Harry, are the cups full of beer?
They're filled about a fourth way, depending on how much you want to drink. Usually it's only about a fourth filled.
A fourth?
It just,
a fourth or a half a cup is usual.
Yeah, because it seems like, you know, with the action on the table, with the ball bouncing up and down on the table, that the cups would be just moving around, falling off. I mean, it seems like it'd be tough to play a game with full cups on your table.
No, it's not that hard, but if you have more than a half a cup, then the ball usually doesn't stay in the cup.
Right.
So it just bounce right out.
Lisa May's going to be like, close enough, give me another one.
Now, how often do you and your friends play this, Harry?
Well, my best friend Sean, he plays probably about four times a week.
Nice.
He just has people over his house. I don't play as much. I actually don't really play much at all, but I'm always there when they're playing.
Gotcha. So you're just kind of an observer. You're not a professional.
I'm kind of the observer. You know, I'm underage, so I don't really drink.
Yeah, sure. So. Now, you say you want a referee. What does that involve? Are you going to have a whistle, striped shirt, the whole deal?
Well, like I said, each house has different house rules according to whoever's house it is.
Right, but what do you have in mind?
Well, you know, there's different rules. Like if you bounce a ball on the table and then it goes into the cup, they have to drink two cups. If you bounce the ball off the ceiling, they have to drink four cups. There's many different rules that you can play with if they knock
awesome.
Over. Yeah. So
all right. You hold on for 1 second. I want to bring in Katie in Hermosa Beach. Good morning, Katie.
Good morning.
Hi, Katie.
Do we have a pretender here on the other line?
Yeah, what he's describing is called Beirut. Beer pong actually requires a ping pong paddle.
It does not.
Well, I think...
he says it does
it
not.
It does not, so Katie. All right, how do you play, Katie?
I'm sorry?
How do you play?
Okay, well, we play the same way. We set up the pyramid of 10 cups on either end of a ping pong table. But you actually take the ball with a paddle, and you have to paddle it. But you have to get it into the cup by hitting it with a paddle.
Okay, so the only difference between yours and his is that you throw it in his and you hit it with a paddle in yours.
Right, so the throwing is called Beirut.
Beirut, because they throw bombs?
Oh, I really don't know why.
Yeah, you're just afraid to say it, aren't you? Dave the King of Mexico and Alex Superhore came in. Yes.
Oh,
what? Now what?
Dave and I are here to help you because we had a Beirut or beer pong table set up in my garage in Manhattan Beach, and Dave would come over and play our tournaments all the time.
Right.
Okay.
It's all the same. You're just throwing a ball into a cup, and you drink it, you get drunk, you get
so you
wasted.
So don't play ping pong?
Not at all.
No.
It's just a ping
pong. I like ping pong. No. I want to play ping pong. Hey, you know what's cooler? Drinking.
Lisa, what's wrong with you?
Why can't we do both?
Hey, you know what? You can do that after you're drunk. So all you do is throw the down balls in the cups, you drink the cups, you win the cups,
like
and then you're done.
It's on a ping pong table. Awesome. You have balls. You talk smack. You're in teams of two.
You don't talk smack.
Oh, yeah.
See, oh, yeah, you talk smack. You spike them out.
Yeah.
See, I'm glad Alex came in because this is what was confusing to me when I was asking questions about how do you keep all those cups on the table while you're trying to play. Because I thought, like Lisa did, that you're also playing ping pong. But no, not at all.
The whole idea here is drinking, people.
Yeah. Well, I understand
that. And then you get strategies, and we would take, you know, you rack them like you would like on a pool table, the cups, to make a triangle.
Right.
And then we'd fill like one cup higher of beer, but you'd hide it from the other team.
Super horror. Stand by for 1 second. What if I were to tell you we have the president of the Southern California Beer Pong Association now on the line?
Let's
talk to Drew and find out what he has to add. And if you're just joining us, apparently there's beer pong happening at the big K-Rock event at Santa Anita tomorrow. We need to make sure we know what we're doing. Hey, Drew, welcome to the Kevin Amin Show.
How you doing?
out of what you've heard, what's right?
Well, beer pong is not a drinking game.
What?
The word beer in the title may have thrown us off then.
You're a really bad association then.
It's a professional sport.
Apologies.
Nice.
Okay, do we need to
what does that mean? It's
with
a professional
strategy. There's actually a World Series of beer pong. I don't know if you guys know that.
Okay, but do you play it by throwing or hitting a ping pong ball in beer glasses on the other side of the table?
You do, but you could use water. You could use vodka. It doesn't matter.
Well, it matters if it's called the Southern California Beer Pong Association. Beer is in the title.
Drew, don't
all right,
be bad.
Guys, that's from now on, we're going to put we're going to call it baseball, but there's not going to be any bases, and we're not going to use any balls.
You could use a golf ball, you could use a tennis ball, but it's still baseball.
You don't have to play pong either. You can do it pong. Yeah, not beer pong.
I reject Drew.
Okay, Drew.
You reject me. Look me up on MySpace. We have a it's a professional organization. You have to join. I have to approve you.
Yeah, but if you're distancing yourself from beer, which is the only reason people care about your stupid game, then we don't want to have anything to do with you.
I can drink beer faster than during the game.
Of course.
But I don't lose.
What's wrong with you? All right, here's what I'm going to say, because we're out of time. I want to say to Drew, thanks for calling. I want to say to Harry, thanks for emailing and getting on the line here. Any of you that are interested in the beer pong and want to play and make this thing happen, come on out to Santa Anita with Lisa May and Psycho Mike and Lightning and Alex and everybody else out there tomorrow and play the game.
We'll figure it out.
But avoid King of Mexico.
It's fun.
I'm going to say I'm going to kick everybody's ass, so don't even bother
messing
with me.
So don't even show up.
No, I'm going to kick everyone's ass, so bring it on.
Okay.
All right.
Bring it on.
All right.
All I'm saying is if your alarm went off a half an hour ago and you were hoping for a show that revolved around beer pong, peeps, and Billy D. Williams, man, we have come through for you today.
Woo!
I'm proud.
Look out.
Billy D. was on Lost, by the way. He was a gangster in the flashback for one of the fruit cutters.
I think B was kidding about people being interested in that.
Yeah. Just say it. What a stellar half hour.
He also in Scrubs, he played Mandy
That's
Moore's godfather.
Fine, all right, we've moved on.
When
Ralph.
Mandy Moore played JD's girlfriend.
We're trying to write the ship here, Ralph. It's Friday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. That means it's time for the movie.
All down, Ralph Garman's movie.
A veritable potpourri of cinema delights this weekend.
Yes.
I'm kidding.
Oh.
It's the usual same old crap. Including a couple movies that are already released earlier this week. Because, you know, it is spring break time, and the kids are out of school, and they're taking advantage of that by extending the movie weekend just by a day or so. We'll talk about those. Let's talk about some of the smaller films first and foremost, shall we? The Hoax opens up this weekend in selected theaters. This is the true story of a author named Clifford Irving, played by Richard Gere in the film, who almost succeeded in pulling off one of the great cons in the history of publishing by writing an autobiography of Howard Hughes, the legendary billionaire filmmaker industrialist, which he claimed was taken from interviews that he had with Howard. Here's the only problem. Howard never talked to the guy. The entire book was bogus.
That's awesome.
And he got busted.
It was a great gamble because Howard Hughes was so reclusive and did not ever do interviews that he thought, who's gonna bust me on it? Who's going to come out and say it didn't happen? Howard Hughes isn't going to talk, but he did.
Howard said, hey, excuse me, fellas, it wasn't me. Anybody have an issue with this besides me? Also this weekend is Sacco and Vanzetti. John Turturro and Tony Shalhoub read aloud from the prison writings of the two Italian immigrant anarchists.
That's got
to be riveting.
I'm sorry, I thought you said they read aloud.
You heard me correctly, my friend.
That's a movie.
Yes, it is. Hey, if Al Gore can show us slides of Iceland melting or Greenland melting, we can look at these two guys reading. That's what I'd say.
Or not.
And the TV set also opens this weekend. I'm looking forward to seeing this. It's very funny. David Duchovny stars as a writer who's trying to get his TV series pilot through the treacherous waters of network television. And having experienced this one or two times before in my own lifetime, I can tell you it can't be as ridiculous and as insane as the real experience, no matter how much they satirize it in this movie. Also starring in this film is Sigourney Weaver, Justine Bateman, Yoan Griffith, who you also know as Mr. Fantastic from the Fantastic Four movies. Here, David Duchovny is trying to not lose his mind as he's dealing with TV executives, changing the very premise of the show that he's written.
Is it absolutely necessary that the brother commit suicide?
Sorry?
I see it more like a guy comes home, the town needs him kind of show. A little northern exposure, a little Ed.
You see, it's very personal to me because my brother killed himself. The suicide has always been kind of the premise for everything that happens.
I know, but what if it weren't?
That's so spot on.
Yep.
What if that wasn't the case? Don't get me wrong, we love your show, but can you change everything about it?
Is this the one based on Freaks and Geeks?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So, that's forward to seeing. Yeah, it's in select theaters. You're going to have to search a little bit, but I get the sense it would be worthwhile. Or you can see the long-awaited sequel to Are We There Yet? Starring Ice Cube. The sequel, Are We Done Yet? Apparently not, is the answer.
Yeah.
Comes out, it's already in theaters. It came out earlier this week. Ice Cube and his family move into a new house. Because apparently they are there yet. They got there, and now they're moving into the house, and they don't know whether they're done yet or not. Because no one's there to tell them.
Hmm.
Here's a scene while Ice Cube's saying grace at the dining room table when something unexpected happens.
Give thanks.
I know at times it seems like we're nothing but a bunch of back-talking sass mouths who don't know when we got it good in a nice, beautiful home.
Wow, at least the table's strong.
I could fix that.
Oh, no,
the chandelier
it did
falls
not.
On the table, then the table goes through the floor.
No, okay. It didn't.
Yes, it did.
It's the money pit all over again.
They are not done yet.
Also, already in theaters earlier this week is The Reaping, starring Hilary Swank. In this scene, she discovers that the river that runs through the town where all these plagues are happening is made of human blood.
Is it blood? You know, I wish I could tell you.
Never seen that before.
Black's not even on a chart.
Never seen that before. Never seen it.
Ralph, she's a terrific actress.
She is. She's good.
What did I say? Did I say she's a horrible actress?
No, but you just, it seems like you're making fun of her. And I'm saying I don't want people to be scared away from a movie she's in because of your
impersonation. Did I say she was a horrible actress?
You did not.
Did I question her acting talents?
You did not say she was a horrible actress.
Why didn't you come back and say she doesn't have a syllabus as in giant teeth? Why didn't you say that then?
she may have some of that, but that doesn't, that shouldn't disqualify people from going to see her films.
I didn't say it should.
Oh!
Okay.
If you want to go see a Hilary Swank movie, then you go to the movies and you pay your $7. That's all.
I wish it was $7.
Well, $8. There's no S's in 8. I couldn't use that.
Yeah.
Also opening this weekend, Grindhouse, starring two directors. This is one of the few films out there where the directors really are the stars, Robert Rodriguez and Quentin Tarantino, both who were just fascinating in their interviews this week with us here on the Kevin
they're
Bean
never
show.
Better.
I thought they'd never shut up, those two. They just had story after story.
Actually, I think they both canceled. I think they're both in Amsterdam with Cal Penn.
Yeah. This is a throwback to the old 70s days of double feature B-movies where they take two horrible exploitation films and put them back-to-back and pack the show with teenagers, usually smoking a lot of dope, and they'd watch two graphic horror movies back-to-back. And this is a real fun time at the movie theater. I got a chance to see both of these films. You have no choice if you go to see Grindhouse because there are two movies back-to-back with some trailers in between for upcoming movies. They're all fictional. They're all made-up trailers, but they're very funny and very entertaining. The half of the movie that is done by Quentin Tarantino is a film called Death Proof about a stuntman named Stuntman Mike, oddly enough, who is played by Kurt Russell, who kills people with his souped-up stunt car.
I like it.
Yeah. Here's a scene from that in which Rose McGowan, who stars in both of these films, by the way, is given a lift by Stuntman Mike home from a bar, and she pretty quickly wishes she hadn't.
Exactly. Well, Pam, which way are you going? Left or right?
Right.
That's too bad.
Why?
Well, because it was a 50-50 shot on whether you'd be going left or right. You see, we're both going left. You could have just as easily been going left, too, and if that was the case, it would have been a while before you started getting scared. But since you're going the other way, I'm afraid you're going to have to start getting scared immediately.
Dude, he is so creepy, isn't he?
He's very creepy in the film. Kurt Russell rocks in this role. Of the two films, though, my personal preference, the one I enjoyed more, was a film by Robert Rodriguez called Planet Terror, which is a over-the-top, balls-out spoof of all the zombie movies you've ever seen. And this thing is alternately completely gross, completely hilarious, very entertaining film. A small town is taken over by zombie-like victims of a military biological agent that escapes from an army base.
It's based on a true story.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Starts to mutate the people that come in contact with it. And they're all bad dudes. A mom who is trying to run away from her abusive husband to her lesbian lover runs away from the mutants with her small child in the car.
Mm-hmm.
And the mutants are bearing down on them, so she has to give her son some quick lessons in self-defense.
I want you to open that for Mommy. Take the gun. Careful. That's it. And if anyone comes to the door that isn't me, I want you to shoot them, okay? I'm not kidding, Tony. You shoot them in the head.
What if it's dad?
Especially if it's your dad.
Especially if it's your dad.
Wow.
Yeah. Rose McGowan stars in both of these films. She's got a small role, actually, in Death Proof. She's all over the place in Planet Terror. And I'll tell you something. You know Rose and I have our history.
Yeah.
Yes.
But she has never looked better, and she has never been better showcased in both these films. She's very, very funny in Planet Terror especially, and she's real good in Death Proof as well.
Fantastic.
This Planet Terror acts as if it's almost a love letter to Rose McGowan. The way she's featured and the way she's shot, she looks terrific in this movie. She plays a go-go dancer who, due to a series of unfortunate accidents, not accidents really, due to a series of unfortunate mutant attacks, loses her leg, but then gets it replaced with a high-caliber machine gun.
Well, that could happen.
Which comes in very, very handy. That's the beauty of this movie. None of it can happen, but it's all endlessly entertaining, and you will enjoy it, I promise. So I recommend you check out Grindhouse this weekend, or if you haven't seen Blades of Glory yet, I also think that's a very funny choice for you this weekend. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
Cut, that's right. That was The Movie Beat with Ralph Garman on K-Rock.
Great news for Stephen Hawking. He finally gets to get out of the wheelchair. Have you guys heard? The world's most famous scientist, Stephen Hawking, who's had, what, the Lou Gehrig's disease, I guess, for many, many years.
Yeah.
Finally gets to get out of the wheelchair because he's going to be in zero gravity. He's actually got a flight into space planned.
Oh, fantastic. Is this one of those, is this an actual flight into space, going to the moon or something?
No, he's not going to do that. He is going to get high enough up, though, that he gets to zero gravity. April the 16th is when he's leaving. It's a specially modified 727. It's going to be taken off from the shuttle landing facility at the Kennedy Space Center in Florida, and they're going to do those parabolic maneuvers up there, and it's going to feel like you're in zero gravity. He's going to be up there for about an hour and a half, and of course, you know, here's a guy who has spent his whole life writing about space and writing about how stuff like that works. Now he's going to get a chance to experience it for himself. And it's gonna be a huge thrill for the man, I would imagine.
We did that on the way to Vegas one time, where the pilot drops altitude so fast that you literally float out of your seat toward the top of the actual aircraft. It's awesome.
Oh, I would throw up.
Oh, so cool.
He's in training right now in the vomit rocket or whatever they call those things. And I think we asked producer Lightning to line him up for us in Florida. The great Dr. Stephen Hawking on the line, back on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Doctor.
Hello, Kevin and Bean.
Well, thank you for joining us. Am I right? Are you in training right now for your big shot into space on April 16th?
I am in the plane right now.
Oh, no kidding. How about that? Okay.
Whee!
Are you in the air, or is the plane on the ground?
We're still on the ground.
Yeah, that's what I was afraid of.
I haven't felt a different thing yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you would. What is it about this that is so exciting for you, Professor?
We'll get to fly.
Right?
That's pretty exciting.
Right?
Because I can't walk.
Right.
So flying is quite a step up.
So you mean like physically you'll be able to come out of the chair and fly around through the air?
Yes.
I see. Okay, all right.
We're climbing now in altitude.
Oh, you're up going up now?
Yes.
Okay.
Here we go. Here we go.
He seems to be enjoying that.
Oh, crap.
What?
The chair floats, too. I can't get out of this chair.
Oh, come on.
This is BS. Hey, my penis just moved.
Oh.
That's cool.
I'm getting naked.
Oh, no. Nobody wants to see that.
All right.
Look, my penis is standing straight up.
All right.
I never thought that would happen.
Yeah.
Bring out the space whores. I've got something to show them. There are no space whores.
Nope, they're not. Sorry. You're by yourself with your boner.
I'm a sad, handicapped man.
Yes, you are.
Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
I'm always fascinated by these celebrity memorabilia auctions because I'm a collector. You know, there's a lot of people out there who collect things, either baseball cards or comic books, whatever you collect. But the stuff that people will spend for memorabilia, especially for movies and TV shows, never ceases to amaze me.
Yep.
They just closed the auction at Profiles in History of their latest batch of celebrity Hollywood memorabilia. And some of the prices that things went for, unbelievable. The highest moneymaker for the auction was the original Alien costume from the movie Alien.
Okay.
The creature costume, the thing the actor wore, the right. giant with mm-hmm. a giant long face and everything. Mm-hmm. $126,000.
Wow.
Right under that was Christopher Reeve's original costume from Superman the movie, went for $115,000. As did a costume from The Wizard of Oz, one of the Wicked Witch's guards, It's mm-hmm. one of the few remaining costumes from that 1939 movie still left in existence. Another $115,000.
Wow. Now, some of these people buy it because they're just big fans. Some of it are buying it because it's an investment, right?
Right.
And it's really kind of a gamble to think if people are going to care about, say, the movie Alien in 25 years when you might go to sell that thing.
Usually anything science fiction, superhero sort of oriented, always increases in value, as does any of the classics. Gone with the Wind, Wizard of Oz, that kind of stuff.
Hmm.
Certainly will return your investment at least. The golden headpiece from the Staff of Ra from Raiders of the Lost Ark went for $69,000. It's about 3 inches around.
$69,000.
$69,000. Leonard Nimoy's Spock costume from the first season of Star Trek went for $34,500. A stunt-fighting lightsaber from Attack of the Clones, a Star Wars movie, went for over $40,000.
Wow. We should get a lightsaber for that.
Wolverine's claws from Hugh Jackman in X-Men 2, another $40,000 winner. And one of the original cars from Mr. Toad's Wild Ride from Disneyland.
Yeah.
$31,000.
Hmm.
For an old Mr. Toad's Wild Ride car.
I don't know what you do with any of that stuff.
I'm not sure either. But, you know, The Sopranos also restarts this weekend on Sunday night. James Gandolfini's blood-stained shirt from The Sopranos when he was shot by Uncle Junior went for just over $5,700, so that wasn't a big mistake.
Not very much.
No, it's not at all. But 20 years from now, when that show is the stuff of legend, you could probably turn around and sell it for three times that amount.
Probably. So, I mean, that's something that was worth $35 2 years ago, so I'd say it's increased in value quite a bit.
George Clooney's better than you.
Yeah.
True.
On every level.
Yeah,
and he continues to prove it on a daily basis. Apparently, he is currently in Tobaccoville, North Carolina. Oh, do I want to move there? Can you imagine how cheap cigarettes are in Tobaccoville, North Carolina?
I bet you can smoke everywhere, too, by the way.
Oh,
I bet there's none
absolutely.
Of this BS restaurant stuff.
You have to smoke in Tobaccoville.
Yeah.
They throw you out if you're not smoking in a bar.
During surgery, the patient and doctors probably both have to smoke.
Everybody, light them up. He is currently working on a movie called Leatherheads, about the early days of the NFL, back when they wore leather helmets.
They actually did not wear hard helmets. They just wore leather, like that's going to help.
When men were men back then.
That's right, man.
So a group of kids in the neighborhood where they were shooting said, you know what we'll do? We'll set up a lemonade stand. And this way all the actors and crew and stuff on their breaks will come over and they'll pay 25 cents for a glass of lemonade and we'll make a killing.
Sure.
Well, who comes over but George himself? Walks over to the lemonade stand, buys himself a cup of lemonade, hands him a 20 and says, keep the change, kids. Then proceeded to pose for photographs with all the kids and all the kids' parents and hung out and just spent some time with the neighbors.
All right. Whatever.
We know. It kicks your ass.
Yeah.
Kicks everyone's
Does
ass.
Does it kick your ass too or just ours?
Well, of course it kicks mine. That's a given. But I just want to make sure you guys recognize
how
much your ass has been kicked.
We get that.
By George Clooney.
He has to do stuff like that because he wasn't blessed with good looks. He doesn't have any kind of acting talent. So he's really got to do everything he can to just prop up his failing career, Ralph. That's what
true.
I'm preferring to think.
Yeah. You know, if Bean fell onto a table of kids selling lemonade, he wouldn't offer to even pick it up.
He'd yell at him.
Yeah. He would ask for a receipt for the 25 cents he spent on the cup of lemonade that he got because he wouldn't want to write it off as a business expense. That's the difference between Bean and George Clooney, amongst many.
Besides looks and talent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the founder of Girls Gone Wild videos, Joe Francis, has defied a federal judge yesterday.
Uh-oh.
The judge issued a warrant insisting that he surrender to U.S. Marshals on a contempt citation. And Joe Francis said, no, I don't think so.
What was it from?
Well, the judge said that Joe Francis has not negotiated in good faith with the seven women who were suing him for their appearances in his videos because they were minors at the time that he filmed them and put them in the Girls Gone Wild videos.
Oh. All right!
Yeah. So the judge said, look, you have to deal with these women. They're looking for damages. I insist, if you don't want me to rule on it, you must engage in actual negotiations with them, work some deal out so we can get rid of this case. And he has since decided that he had not been entering into good faith negotiations with these families.
Uh-oh.
And so he said, all right, then screw you. You have to surrender yourself to marshals. We're going to bring you in for contempt of court. And Joe Francis said, and I quote, he's a judge gone wild.
Oh, how does he do it?
How does he come up with it?
Wow.
Jesus. Now I'm on the judge's side.
So he won't turn himself in.
I'm sorry. What was the quote?
This is a case of a judge gone wild.
Oh, no, he didn't.
Joe
Francis. Is there a warrant out for his arrest?
Apparently so.
I think he should be shot on sight, by the way.
Just to make it interesting. But he's brought so much pleasure to the rest of us, Rob. Don't you think the policy ought to be if a girl is old enough to decide to take her top off in front of a camera, then you should be off the hook?
No!
I don't.
Really?
I think that should be the rule.
Policy.
I think if she's old enough to decide it's okay, then it's okay.
No!
Bean.
I'm just saying.
Yeah,
there are plenty of 18-year-old boobs out there. That's all I'm saying.
More than enough.
More than enough fair game for
Joe
Francis.
But I'm just saying, let's not be nitpicking if somebody's 17 and they want to show on. That's all I'm suggesting.
Well, you're wrong.
It's up to the girl. That's all I'm
saying.
Wrong, sir.
Well, shame on you.
Oh, yeah, come
on.
Indeed. And lastly, George Lucas says he's not giving up on recruiting Sean Connery to come back for the fourth Indiana Jones movie to play Indy's dad.
Yeah,
Connery has turned down the offer so far up to this point. He refuses to sign on, but Lucas says, we need him for this movie. It's got to happen. I'm not surrendering yet. We're still trying, Lucas has said. He also told USA Today that he was surprised that Steven Spielberg wanted Cate Blanchett to play Indiana Jones' love interest in this film. But he said, that's who my director wanted, and I always bow to my director's wishes.
Okay.
So, doesn't seem happy about it. But
no.
Look, you got to find somebody who's at least in their 30s to play a love interest Harrison Ford at this point.
No, you can't get away with anything less.
You got to sort of pick an adult woman.
I'd say you got to go 50 or above.
I say they go to Joe Francis for the casting, is what I say.
If they had any gut, they'd cast Sean Connery as his love interest. That would be an interesting film.
I like it.
Yes, Indy. Put it in me.
Stop.
Give me the staff of Ra.
Swing the elements.
It all comes back. It all comes back.
Today's celebrity birthdays, John Ratzenberger. He was Cliff on Cheers. He's 60 years old today. He's also in Dancing with the Stars. Paul Rudd, one of our favorite actors. He is from the 40-Year-Old Virgin, from Anchorman. I think he also played Gale Sayers in Brian's Song.
No, that was actually a fellow birthday boy, Billy Dee Williams.
That's right. Billy Dee Williams is 70 years old today. Let's talk about Billy's career a little bit.
Yeah. We don't have time.
Actually, we got a guest standing by ready to come
in. All right. And Zach Raff from Scrubs turns 32. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
This Sunday night, can't wait. 10 o'clock, HBO. Ladies and gentlemen, the return of Entourage is finally going to be here. And actor Rex Lee is joining us in the studio. He, of course, plays Ari Gold's assistant, Lloyd. Welcome, Rex. Welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. How are you, my friend?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
You got to be so nervous every time a new season starts because you never know when that Tony Soprano is going to whack you. I mean, they just everybody just gets killed
that's
on
Sopranos.
That show. It just
that's
seems
the Sopranos.
Like, oh, so Rex is fine?
Yeah, he's good.
Unlikely to get killed? Okay.
I have to tell you what's weird about having him come in is we have a lot of actors come in, and I know that they're actors, but for some reason, to me, Lloyd is just Lloyd. He's right. Not an actor, so when he came in, I'm like, dude, it's Lloyd.
So it's not,
weird.
It's not Rex, it's just Lloyd?
It's Lloyd.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you want some coffee or something?
You really sell it, I guess.
Well, tell us the exciting story. First of all, for folks who may not know, you've been acting for a while, right? I mean, this is your big break, your big breakthrough role, but this is something you've been doing for a long time, right?
It's true. I struggled for a really long time, and I don't know. I just lucked out. You know, I'm living the dream.
They brought you in, and it was supposed to be a really temporary thing, right? Three, four episodes?
Yeah, I think it was four episodes. And if I'd come in and sucked, Ari would have fired another assistant.
Yeah. So what is there a kind, I don't want to say desperation, but is there a way of like of thinking I need to? I know they only want four episodes, but I need to do something so that I stand out and they keep me. Or do you just not pay attention to that?
Well, I'll say yes and no. I don't think I was desperate, but I did sort of have the sense that maybe if I came in and did a good, did a good job, that maybe it would turn into something bigger and better. So, and it worked out. So
it's also chemistry, I think, because you and Jeremy have such good chemistry together, and that you just don't know until you go in and do it.
I guess it's funny, I hear people talk about that chemistry, and I think we do have good chemistry, but I'd like to think I'd have good chemistry with any other good actor, and he's good, and I like to think I'm good. So.
Okay, I'm wrong, that's it. So you're really, really good.
And maybe I'm just naive, I don't know.
Now, what kinds of, were there a lot of other TV shows that you auditioned for and didn't get before you got Entourage?
Sure,
That's the life
anything,
of an
any
actor.
Roles in particular you could mention that you went for?
I'm not trying to be secretive or anything, but once I audition for a role and I don't get it, I push it out of my mind. I don't want to think about it anymore. So The truth is, I don't remember.
You never even watched that show, whatever it was.
Exactly.
They're good to you.
No, actually, that's not true. I do watch it, and I'm very bitter, but then I let it go.
Now, what kind of reaction do you get in particular from the Asian community about some of the things that Ari Gold says to Lloyd on the show? Do they feel like it's unfair? Are you somehow the poster boy for abuse? What do you hear from them?
I think these days it's better. I think in the beginning, some of the people in the Asian community thought, oh, here's another gay Asian assistant, you know,
right,
taking this abuse. Why do we need another one of those? But I think as time has gone by and Lloyd has sort of proved that he has a backbone, I think Asians appreciate me more than they used to.
He seems like he's stronger than Ari. Like his character actually to take that and then every once in a while to stand up is actually, in a way, kind of stronger than Ari's character is.
I guess that's possible.
Here's a little clip for those of you that haven't heard it. Jeremy Piven plays Ari Gold, and he's talking to Lloyd about his gayness.
How is it to take a name anyway, Lloyd?
I don't know, Ari. I'm the top.
Come on, really? Anyway, make the call.
No.
No what?
No, I will not call.
Oh, this is not going to be another one of your queer as folk pep talks, is it, Lloyd?
Yes, sorry. Yes, it is.
I love him.
Is this the kind of show where there's some ad-libbing involved? Because, of course, it always seems so natural. Or is it one of those where you just have to memorize every single word of the script?
Well, the show is definitely scripted, and we have brilliant writers. Having said that, Jeremy loves to improvise. So, as an actor, I just have to be ready for that. I mean, you know, I would say very little of that makes it into the final cut, but he still feels free to do it.
Sure, yeah. He does it, then they cut it out, then he does it, then they cut it out.
Yeah.
That's amazing writing then, because it really does, and amazing acting, because it really does come off as just screaming back and forth and kind of reacting to each other, and it sounds so much more natural than most TV dialogue, I think.
Yeah, you know, it's just brilliant writing and brilliant acting. What can I say?
because of how brutal Jeremy Piven's character can be to you, when the director yells cut, does he come over to you and go, dude, you know I don't mean it, right? You know it's cool. It's all good, right?
No. I mean, we have an understanding. I know it's all good. You know, he doesn't have to come over and say that anymore. And Jeremy's the sweetest, kindest guy ever, so I know that Ari is this character, and it's not Jeremy at all.
Here's another clip of Jeremy as Ari, and he's upset at you for telling Vince the wrong thing.
Why the f*** did you just tell him I had a more important lunch? Do you think that's going to put a smile on his face?
What did you want me to say?
That I have a huge wart on my c*** that needs removal would have been better. Wake the f*** up, Lloyd.
God.
Jeez. Were you surprised at all at how quickly Entourage caught on and became a success, especially being a, you know, an HBO show?
No, not really. You know, in fact, some days when I'm especially proud of our work, I think, why is it this catching on even faster and bigger than it is? You know, I was a huge fan of the first season when I wasn't even on the show, so mm-hmm. just getting an audition for the second season was amazing.
So you did,
so
you
thrilled.
Watched it and you used to think, wow, that's a great show. I sure
yeah,
would like to
definitely.
Be a part of it.
Yeah, I loved that first season.
And did
great.
You have your agent go after it? So you watched the show and liked it, and then they came after you? Or it was just a regular random audition or what?
It was a little bit random. Yeah. I loved the show, and then I just got this audition for a show that I loved.
Wow.
And I was excited about that. And, you know, getting the job obviously was icing on the cake, but just auditioning was an honor, I thought.
Yeah. Who knew a guy like you could play a gay Asian so well? I mean, that is impressive. I got to tell you.
I knew.
What do you hear a lot from Entourage fans on the street when they run into you? First of all, they have the reaction Lisa does, which is, oh, my God, it's Lloyd. But once they get past that and realize you're Rex, then what do they say?
Well, you know, everyone's very, very sweet. And they like the character and they like the work. So, you know, people that don't like the show don't come up and talk to me.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's possible.
That's probably good.
Yeah. I mean, it's possible. Some shows, you know, do sort of have that, you know, the fans have that sort of reaction where mm-hmm. if they don't like it, they're going to come tell you about it. But that doesn't happen with my show.
You don't get people that come up to you and are supportive of you or your character or whatever, like they feel like, oh, this poor guy?
Oh, no, that happens all the time.
It does, yeah.
People ask me if I want to punch Jeremy, and I'm like, well, no. I'm an actor. He's an actor. We get along. Those are, you know, that's all fiction. It's all.
Here's another quick clip. Jeremy Piven, Ari Gold, talking to his assistant, Lloyd, and he wants to hand out some envelopes, and he wants minimum response from Lloyd.
Lloyd!
This envelope contains the names of 8 agents. Anyone catches you, you eat it. Comprende? Nod if you understand what I'm saying.
I understand.
You can't just f***ing nod? Lloyd, I want you to go to each of these agents discreetly. Say the words, tsetse fly. Tsetse
Ari, are you leaving the agency?
Shh.
Silence is f***ing golden.
Rex, what can you tell us about the new season that starts on Sunday?
Well, you know, at the end of season three, part one, the character of Vince fires the character of Ari. And so the rest of season three is all about the overtures that these two characters make to each other to maybe find their way back to each other, to having a working relationship again. Does that happen? Who knows? You'll have to watch.
Are we going to see more of you?
A little bit more, yeah.
A little more?
Yeah.
Tell us about Mark Wahlberg and what he's the executive producer, right?
He is. You know, he's kind of hands off.
Busy.
He had the original concept and he pitched it to HBO and they hooked him up with Doug Allen.
And then he said, okay, I'm going to go be a movie star now?
Basically.
Awesome.
I mean, in the beginning, he probably watched dailies and you know, contributed ideas. And if I guess if he saw something that he didn't like, he would say, I don't like that. But now he's even said publicly that he would just like to not get dailies and just see it on Sunday like everybody else and be surprised.
He's sort of cool.
He trusts us to do our thing, that we know what we're doing.
Well, you certainly do, that's for sure.
You do a terrific job. I mean, you really are. On a show that has so many great characters, yours is really such a standout. You do a tremendous job with Lloyd. You really do, Rex.
Thank you.
Entourage returns this Sunday night at 10 o'clock on HBO, and I guess you're right after The Sopranos. Sopranos first, then Entourage this weekend, right?
Yeah.
That's not a bad lead-in, right?
That's fantastic.
Not bad at all.
That was part of the plan there.
Awesome.
That's going to be a fun Sunday.
Rex, thanks for coming in, man. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Bye.
Lloyd! We're losing our producer.
I didn't even...
I took Mike aside and I said...
Mike, asked you not to do that anymore.
I never want to hear it again. And Mike said, okay.
And Bean set him up,
man. And then he still did it.
And framed
Bean,
him.
And then Bean played it.
Planted evidence.
Son of a bitch.
Bean's the Mark Furman of radio.
All right, time for Kevin and Bean's What It Do Nephew. 1-800-520-1067. You get on the air, you get a prize.
Sort of. It's a pair of tickets to check out the championship off-road racing happening Saturday and Sunday, April 21st and 22nd. It's at the Antelope Valley Fairgrounds. Go to corracing.com. That's how you spell it, Core Racing. So please enjoy.
Okay, let's begin with Tim in Hacienda Heights. Good morning, Tim. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Good morning. What it do, nephew?
What it do, nephew?
Hey, Tim. What's going on?
Well, let me just preface this by saying I'm a fan of the show The Bachelor.
Well, okay, that's all we need to hear. Thanks so much for calling in. Bye now.
How is that possible?
Listen, guys.
How are you fan of the show The Bachelor?
Okay. I like the plots. I like the hot women, okay?
Did your boyfriend make you start watching it? Were you watching together? Is that what the problem was?
Okay.
Who was that original Bachelor? That really dumb Bachelor dude. Who was that guy? Remember him?
No, you're
thinking of Joe Millionaire.
Oh, yeah. Joe Millionaire.
That was a different show.
I never liked The Bachelor. That's right. Yeah.
The Bachelor has the most desperate, needy women on it. They may be hot, but you hate them all the first minute you spend with that show because their personalities are so foul, Tim.
Yeah, I know. The type of girl that signs up for those shows, I want nothing to do with.
Okay.
Right. But you watch.
But you're a fan.
But I'm a fan, but I'm not sure if this show's good for us men because they show these guys that are, like, perfect bodies, perfect hair, have great personalities. The guy's a doctor. He's rich. And he's kind to kids. I mean, my girlfriend, she leans over and she's like, "What? I mean, why can't you be like that?"
Right. That's why you don't watch that show.
Yeah, you.
And that's why you also say you're way better than that dude is because you're not. You're able to find a chick without having to go on a television show to get a date.
Thank you.
Yeah, Tim, listen to us. Stop watching that show.
Yeah.
Why are we building up Tim? He doesn't deserve it.
He's got so many issues.
He does. He's got trouble.
Just come out.
Leave us alone. But I mean, seriously, if these guys were all that, if they were as great as they are portrayed on the show, they'd already have a woman. They wouldn't be 35 and need to go on TV to get a date, okay?
At the very least, they're total media whores.
Yeah, they're totally desperate for attention.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Jason in Arcadia. Good morning.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
Hey, Jason.
What it do, baby boo?
What it do?
How's it going?
Good.
So,
good.
I was at a party
so
with
what's
one
up?
Of my friends.
Greetings. You know what I think we should do? I think we should change the name of this feature from What to Do Nephew to Okay You Go.
Okay, I'm going.
And then
right
when
now.
People call and they say hi, we say Okay You Go.
Just speak.
We'll call.
Just speak.
Just speak. All right, go ahead.
So my friend Dondi was having a go away party over the summer before we all went out to college after graduating high school.
Right.
And we were good friends in high school, but I never really met his parents before. You know, we only went over there like when they weren't home to party and stuff. You
sure.
Know?
Sure.
But anyways, his parents were there, of course, were going away, and we were all getting drunk. Like, I was taking shots of tequila with his dad. It was, like, a real bonding experience.
Sure.
But I had a little bit too much to drink, and I started throwing up all over the backyard.
Uh-huh.
And next thing I know, I wake up in the morning wearing only my boxers, right? And it's like 6 o'clock in the morning, and I'm only wearing my boxers, and I'm in the living room, and I don't know how I got there. But the kitchen's right in front of me.
Yeah.
I feel like I have to throw up again.
Yeah.
So I run to the kitchen and start throwing up in the sink wearing only my boxers. And I look over to the side, and there's my friend's mom and his grandma having their morning coffee, who I've never met before. And they meet me, like, throwing up in my boxers.
Stop it, Bean.
Someone get that phone. Not my fault. Stop it.
The guy's telling us a funny story.
Oh, I didn't hear the funny part. I'm sorry.
The mom
I missed
and
the
grandma
funny part.
Were sitting there.
Every time I see his mom now, she's like, Jason, you're not going to throw up again in my sink, are you? And I'm like, no, I'm so sorry. And,
nice.
I'll never live it up. She actually came to a party at my house a couple weeks ago, and she's like, I'm going to throw up in your sink.
Okay, sorry, the phone's ringing. I got to go.
You know, I listened. I paid attention the first 4.5 minutes of that call, and then I just lost interest. And then you're telling me it got funny eventually?
You know what? It doesn't. Nobody wins if you're more annoying than the caller, though, Bean, with the freaking ringing button you keep pushing.
I thought maybe
two wrongs don't make a right.
I thought maybe somebody would hear it and go to another call. That's what I was hoping for.
Somebody? Who could that be?
Anybody? I don't care.
Well,
Mike,
that
Lisa,
plan
whoever's got the phone.
Come to fruition. Just leave it alone. Manny in Los Angeles.
Oh,
God,
good morning.
I hate you. I can't wait for the weekend. What's going on, Manny?
Hi, Manny. Go.
How you guys doing?
Good.
Go.
You go now.
Okay.
Just speak.
Yesterday, I had to rush my little brother.
Stop it!
All right, I was just kidding. I was just a joke. He just got
sorry,
started.
Manny. Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Because he was in the shower, and I guess he was shaving his back. And he partially circumcised.
Oh, no.
Shalom.
You had to take him to the hospital because he cut himself shaving?
Yes.
He's the worst shaver in the world, by the way, if he's shaving his nads and he nicks his Johnson.
Yeah.
Yeah, as a gift, I'm going to go get him a shaving kit.
What was he shaving? His beanbag.
I guess he was shaving his nutsack and...
He slipped.
I guess he was going too fast. I don't know.
What is it, a race? How do you go too fast, especially during that particular manscaping?
Oh, my God.
I'm never more careful in the world than I do that in the shower.
So you
have to take him to the hospital, and that's the emergency room, right?
The doctor comes out, and he says, okay, now it's up to you whether you want us to finish the job or you want to just leave it.
Wow, he really did it.
What do you mean finish the job?
Finish the circumcision. He was uncircumcised.
Yeah.
Oh, cut off the foreskin. I got you. Ouch,
so
dude.
When you walked into the emergency room, though, did you have to yell through that window, my brother cut his penis?
No.
No.
I try to keep it as discreet as possible.
I know, but they can never hear me when I'm talking, ever.
Yeah, because the bulletproof glass in between you and them.
You have to yell. You have to tell them in a yell voice what's wrong with you.
What was he shaving with, by the way, that he took off half of his foreskin?
A straight razor.
A machete?
An axe?
I guess a regular razor.
Wow. Look, it's time to do penis injuries again. We have that. We had the guy that tripped trying to pee on a friend and got road rash on his ball sack. Remember that?
Yeah, that's right.
People are really not nice to their
Stop
unit.
Using pee as a weapon, people.
Seriously.
That's what I ask.
That's good advice.
Be nice to your penises. That's all we're saying.
Pat Benatar song, I think. Stop using pee as a weapon.
Well, I think based on that selection of calls, it may be time to just call an end to the segment and maybe say thanks to all of our guests on the Kevin and Bean Show today, including Harvey the Hammer Levin from TMZ.com. For all your entertainment news, how about Lightning's little friend Ken Gushi for joining us here today?
Yeah. He was fantastic.
He is a Formula Drift racer. You can see him down at the Long Beach Arena in Long Beach tomorrow. Doors open at 10 o'clock, and you can go to all Ticketmaster outlets for information on that if you want to see drifting in person. Thanks to actor Rex Lee for joining us, the return of Entourage, this Sunday at 10 o'clock on HBO. And Psycho Mike, you've got something going on. You and Lisa May making an appearance this weekend. What's the deal at San Antonio?
Wow, two of you guys together?
Yeah.
Madness. Yeah, we're going to be doing Doggy Style in the Park.
No, we're not.
Oh.
Is that the
event?
Oh,
we're going to be at San Anita.
We're going to the microbrew.
All right, cool.
Microbrew tomorrow. Gates, doors open at 10. First
are
race
they gates
is
or
at
they
noon.
Doors, first of
They're
all?
Gates.
What's opening?
Gates open at 10. First race is at noon. It's $5. Greenbrier Lane will be playing. I'll be there.
King of Paddocks and Brews.
Like, oh, Mike, Omar, Kat. It's going to be a lot of fun, and you can get a free T-shirt, too. And we're
there
playing beer pong, however we figure out how to do that.
Yeah.
Monday morning, all new Kevin and Bean Show. Joel McHale is going to be on the program. He's got a new TV show on. We got Shia LaBeouf about Disturbia, which looks great.
Oh, so good.
We're going to have to do penis injuries. I'm sorry, but you people are forcing us into it. JSJR from the Ducks in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And Bobcat Goldthwait will join us. He's got this
Bobcat.
New movie, Sleeping Dogs Lie.
Oh, mon ami, Bobcat.
That's not how you say it.
stupid.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Oh, yeah, drugs. You gotta have drugs.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
God damn it, I love pot.
Roll another one.
This one is bad.
Just like the other one. This one seems to be about to quit. And I need another hit.
Pal Cat Corbett is up next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock music. Why not stick around for some Muse? Also, Bad Religion, Rage Against the Machine, Incubus, flashback stuff from Bob Marley, and new Nine Inch Nails. Straight ahead on K-Rock.
Roll.
Smoking marijuana to blow your mind is like throwing sand in a delicate machine. Nothing goes wrong.
Just pass it around.
Marijuana is just H's way of saying
it. Roll on that joint, my friend. I just pass it on down.
Pass it on down.
You're free to go. But we're cool, right?
That was wonderful.
Bravo.
I loved that.
Oh, it was great.
Well, it was pretty good.
Well, it wasn't bad.
Well, there were parts of it that weren't very good,
though. It could have been a lot better.
I didn't really like it.
It was pretty terrible.
It was bad.
It was awful.
It was terrible.
Get him away.
Hey, boo.
Cut, print, gay.
Sorry, we're out of time.
They pick it up. They go to the end zone. Caught. Touchdown. Game over.
See you guys. Seagrass out. Bye-bye.
So if you're confused about what I'm saying, listen very carefully. I quit this bitch.